part of the conversation, cussing and discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Monday, Moron Monday, the 12th day of May 2014, and oh my God, have we got morons? I think this probably qualifies as a pandemic or an infestation or something. We are absolutely just sideways with the little bastards. But we'll get through them. We will. I don't know why. Everything seems a little hot today. I don't know why. Not temperature. I'm just looking at the signal the way it's rolling across, and so tweak and engineer, and do all those things on the fly that you know the staff do, or you know production staff does. But, you know, not here, by God, not here. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. We call what we do here conversation radio, and we invite you to try it out, take it for a spin. Past evidence of the last 10 years shows that you most likely will enjoy it. Of course, The Horn, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, is not a commercial enterprise. We're not selling anything. We're not doing business. We exist entirely based upon your desire to continue having independent, unbeholden media to which you can turn for cussing and discussing. We try to raise $150 per evening, and I'm really tickled to say that we got past Friday's fundraising shortfall yesterday, and thanks go out to everyone who helped make that happen. Thanks go out to Don and to our dear friend Tara and Michael and Thomas and Sal and Judy, all of you for helping us get over the hump over the weekend so we could start in the clear today. So we do, which means that we're looking to raise $150, 15 at 10, 10 at 15, 2 at 75, 6 at 25, you know how it goes. PayPal button or traditional mail address works fine. If you want to use the mail address, just do please remember, make checks and money orders not payable to Bob Kincaid, but to The Horn, so that Boss Man Wayne will have an easier time dealing with them so that we can keep the bills paid. Okay, yeah, let's see. What? I hope all the mothers and sons and daughters of mothers and partners and spouses of mothers had a wonderful and joyful and reflective Mother's Day, being yesterday. It was a lovely day here, absolutely lovely. Got warm. We fired up the grill. Yeah. Did a little work in the yard even. It was nice. It was very nice. So that's over, and Moran Monday is Moran Monday, right? Yeah, probably. Let's see. Here we go.
You gotta remember.
Thank you.
That's right, that's right. Hurry, hurry, hurry. It is Moran Monday on the Horn. You will not believe your ears. Behind this cybernetic veil of canvas, you will see right-wing Morans of all stripes, libertarian Morans, Bercher Morans, booger-eating Morans, deathers, tenthers. All manner of Morans are here for your amazement, your shock, your horror. Groups of Morans, individual religious Morans, political Morans. They share one and all the single characteristic of Moranity. Oh, we'll be very busy, very, very busy. The folks passing through the cybernetic veil are advised to hang on to wallets and purses because the Morans can get grabby. Yeah, head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, you will, you will, you will. I'm not kidding. I don't know where to begin. I mean, over the course of a weekend, the Morans parade past and you look promising. Hey, how about you? Oh, you? Really? And it becomes almost impossible to pick a winner. And so sometimes we use things like, geography to pick a Moran. And in this case, that's what I did. I mean, it's not a big story. It's not earth-shattering. It's not going to have any particular impact on the toddling along of this little blue-green marble hurtling through the universe. But it was just Moranic enough to get my attention. I happen to be over in Fair Bickley. Hey, Marty, no signal buffering here. We have been absolutely clean as a pin for several days. The internet connection seems to have squared itself off rather nicely. So, yeah, this time the buffering ain't on us. But no, I was over in Bickley on Saturday. Had a couple of errands I had to run, and it being a political season, and tomorrow being West Virginia's primary, there are signs all over the place. And I do not have a photograph of it, else I probably would have posted it on the Horn website so that everybody could see it. But, wow, there's a Democratic primary, of course, and a Republican primary. And for one particular House of Delegates race in Bickley, there's a heated three-way contest. A fellow named Roop, a fellow named Mick Bates, and a fellow by the name of Mel Kessler. Does anybody remember Reagan's 11th commandment? The Republicans love to point to that. The so-called Reagan's 11th commandment is that thou shalt not criticize another Republican. I guess Democrats don't adhere to that, or at least Mel Kessler doesn't. Here's the background. 20-some-odd years ago, Mr. Bates emigrated as a young man, and God knows why, from Australia to southern West Virginia. He has built himself a respectable career in the community. He is a Democrat. I'm not going to agree with everybody on everything, but he's a good candidate and has a fighting chance of winning in November. Did I mention that he immigrated from Australia to Bickley, West Virginia? Yeah. And he is an upstanding member of the community. He is. I mean, I'm not shocked. I just don't know why you'd leave Australia. So, Mel Kessler has apparently been spending a ton of money on his campaign because he desperately wants to get back into the House of Delegates. And he's got all these billboards all over Bickley. And they show him, well, let's see, he compares himself to Buford Pusser. He's got a picture of him holding a big stick, walking tall, and oh, for heaven's sakes. And his campaign slogan is, give 'em Mel. Huh? Huh? What? You got that? Did you get that? He made it funny there. Give 'em Mel. Now, mind you, Mel is, of course, a fundamentalist Christian. So it just stands to reason he'd use a little funny there that would make allusion to cussing. So how did Mr. Kessler, campaign on the issues? Well, he did so by putting up a billboard that shows a picture of him and a little cartoon of a kangaroo. No, really. A kangaroo. With the line on the billboard, something like, one of these is not native to West Virginia. And then, give 'em Mel. Really. I wish I had the money. And enough time. I'd have put up a billboard with it. Xenophobia. Xenophobia. Another word Mel Kessler doesn't know the meaning of. No, really. He slimed a fellow Democrat in the primary with the ancient, you ain't from around here, hooey. It just rubbed me the wrong way. Can't you win on the issues? Marty wants to know, which Buford Pusser? The real one. The Buford Pusser. Not Dwayne The Rock Johnson or Joe Don Baker, although given the choice between the two, I'll go Joe Don Baker. But that kind of dates me, doesn't it? Yeah, one of these is not native to West Virginia, and there's a picture of Mel and a picture of a kangaroo. What a load of shit. That's just shameful. I mean, there are lots of issues that affect West Virginians in that House of Delegates district. Hey, mountaintop removal. Anybody? Bueller? The looming threat of right to work in this state. But no, we get a kangaroo billboard. And like a little political slime to keep people away from it. Yeah. Yeah. So there's our first Moran nominee of the evening. We got more. Oh, Lord God, do we have more? Two stories. The first one of which I found via our old friend Matt Osborne over at Osborne Inc. Or by his Twitter feed. And, well, it's a simple enough story, I suppose. There wasn't just a heck of a lot of detail, just a sad, sorry statement of fact. A story coming out of Turkey. And as far as I can tell, this is not a joke. Leading news source for Turkey and the region, the Hurriyet Daily News. And because I'm fascinated by the field. Oh, there was part of the problem. 15 minutes into the program, there was audio rolling on the rerun stream. I'm sorry. Somebody tell me these things. Yeah, okay. Oh, by the way, thank you to ASA for getting us started this evening. We only need 13 more folks at $10 a piece to reach the fundraising goal. That would be awfully nice to. Thank you, ASA, indeed. Hurriyet Daily News, the leading news source for Turkey and the region. And, you know, that area of Asia Minor is, of course, a cradle of what we like to refer to as advances in human civilization. And if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't Çatalhöyük somewhere in what is now modern Turkey? Dr. John would know. But things like human heritage matter a lot to me. So I was more than a little bit stricken with grief when I read a 12,000-year-old tomb made of rock in the southern province of Mersin's Silifke district has been blown up with dynamite by treasure hunters. Jesus. But no, really. I mean, I was thrown by the 12,000 number. I mean, this must be some sort of rock shelter or something. I don't know. Murat Özyıldırım is the assistant head of the Olba Archaeological Excavation, and he visited the ancient city back in 2011 and found a dynamite mechanism, otherwise known as a bomb, in the ancient tomb, and was able to inform the local constabulary and stave off the destruction. But in the meantime, austerity has kicked in, so the nearest police station to the ancient archaeological site the police station got closed. So the tomb has since been blown up. The pull quote, for years we've been telling officials, including the Gendarmerie General Command, that the closure of Uzunkabirç Gendarmerie Station has helped treasure hunters in Olba. The ancient city has had a watch guard for the last 8 months, but this last event proves that it is not enough. Our fears came true, and one of the most precious pieces in the ancient city of Olba was damaged greatly. That is Professor Ermil Erten. And, it's just another little chunk of heritage gone. The Kürbasi Gendarmerie Station, half an hour away from Olba, is not able to protect the ancient city. Why? Why? Because there is a very lucrative lucrative underground black market for ancient artifacts. Pots, tools, that sort of thing. Grave goods. In other words, why blow up an ancient tomb in Turkey? Because money. And let's understand something. We're not talking about locals who are going to take it home and sit it on a shelf. No, it'll be worked through a shadowy network until some billionaire member of the 1% can have a 12,000-year-old baked clay or stone or ivory or whatever figurine to look at in his bedroom. Or maybe he'll present it to his lovely wife for an anniversary present. Something like that. There is some museum participation in this kind of stuff, but it's supposed to have been largely curtailed. But that's Turkey, right? I mean, you know, come on, it's Turkey. I mean, we'd never let anything like that happen here, would we? Would we? Uh-oh. Turns out we would. So from Turkey, we travel to, come on, where else? Utah. Where they had them a freedom event this past weekend. Part of the, it was on Saturday. Part of the federal lands in Utah are preserved because they are, well, some are preserved because they're ecologically sensitive. Some are preserved and protected against incursion because they are ceremonially, spiritually, religiously, indigenously sensitive. The latter applies to a place called Recapture Canyon in Utah. It is a it's a little area in Utah that has a tremendous wealth of cliff dwelling artifacts and sites that have been protected by virtue of, well, the federal government, you know, we the people, that whole promote the general welfare thing. And the Navajo people consider that site to be sacred. There are burial sites there. There are cliff-dwelling you know, overhang kind of similar to the stuff you see in Chaco Canyon there. It's referred to sometimes, Recapture Canyon, down in southeast Utah. It's referred to as a mini Mesa Verde. Recapture Canyon has one of the highest concentrations of archaeological sites of ancient inhabitation of this continent anywhere in the United States. Worth protecting? Yeah, I think I can get a 100% I out of the Horn Family Commune Congregation. Sure. Worth protecting. But not to the Freedom Protectors. The Freedom Protectors see Recapture Canyon as the iron boot of the federal government stomping on our necks. So naturally, they had themselves a little hoot nanny on Saturday. It was led, oddly enough, not by a goober like Cloven Craven Bundy, but instead by an actual elected official in the state of Utah. Phil Lyman is a Republican, of course. I mean, come on, it's Maureen Monday, right? And Phil Lyman is a San Juan County Commissioner. That indicates that somewhere along the way there was an oath involved. You know, defend the Constitution, yada, yada, yada. So help me, right? But it was Phil Lyman who led this this so-called protest. And they led their protest by driving ATVs. You know, we around here we call them four-wheelers. They went four-wheeling through Recapture Canyon where they weren't supposed to be a four-wheeling, because four-wheelers are rather damaging to fragile local ecology, flora, fauna, and, say, one of the largest concentrations of ancient indigenous archaeological sites and artifacts in the United States of America. Naturally, Cloven Bundy got in on the act. He said, "We need to help people of Blanding reestablish who's in control of the land. This is your next stand. Will you be there to help them like you helped us? Will you?
Now let me tell you a little thing or two about the Negro.
No, he didn't add that part. They cut the mic off before he could really get rolling. Who controls the land?
Yeah.
Why is this guy not in jail yet? Two, why is this guy not in jail yet? Three, why is Commissioner Lyman not in jail yet? Apparently, the Zen 11-dimensional chess approach to dealing with these wackadoodles out west is to let them do anything they want to do. So they went a roaring through. They went a roaring through Recapture Canyon because freedom. Wolverines. Yeah, sure. And God knows what kind of damage they did. Because see, if you can't ride your four wheel, if you can't go a four wheeling anywhere you want to go, you ain't really free and you ain't really merkin. See how it works? And they're not kidding. These people, especially Lyman, are treasonous. And their goal is to destroy the government of the United States insofar as it does anything that they don't like. They are babies. They are spoiled babies who happen to have a lot of guns. The planned ride aims to assert county jurisdiction in the face of federal overreach. What does the county okay, so do we, is this where we have the conversation about whose land that really is? By virtue of the federal government holding it, it is at least titularly held in trust for all of us. But the spoiled babies with the guns of the right wing don't like that. It's theirs. Mine, you know, what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine. And these clowns have friends. Bundy's buddies. No, really. Includes Americans for Prosperity. It includes Senator and libertarian ophthalmologist, and including that thing on his head, Rand Paul. Actual sitting member of the House of Representatives of the United States, Rob Bishop, is a Bundy buddy. Member of the Utah House of Representatives, Ken Ivory, is a Bundy buddy. He's the leader of something called the American Lands Council, which seeks to take back land from the government. That sounds like a... I didn't know better. That didn't we have... What? This won't take but a minute. Wasn't there a time when a group of disaffected, spoiled, rotten babies with guns decided to take back, take back country? Decided to take back a federal installation. Wasn't there some gun play? Maybe we would even call it artillery play involved. Did Charleston Harbor, maybe? Fort Sumter? When these dumbasses occupy, as they did, even briefly with their stupid four-wheelers, stupid, noisy, polluting four-wheelers, Recapture Canyon, wasn't that sort of a... little mini Fort Sumter? What do they want with Recapture Canyon? Well, we want to go up and camp out there where the engines used to. See, this is the people's land, not the government's. Oh, stupid. Meanwhile, you can just sort of imagine a member of the Navajo people standing, excuse me, hello? Hello, over here. Yeah, not your land. Doesn't belong to you. We've been here for lots of tens of thousands of years. Maybe. So just Turkey, Utah, and who gives a damn? Who gives a damn about heritage, history, the past, which often has a way of informing the future? But that's not it for Morans. Oh, no. No, 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 no. We got lots. I mean, definitely Morans. Lots and lots of Morans. Now we have a sizable portion of the Horn family commune congregation resides in the great state of California. And just as a public service announcement, I wanted to make sure you know that you are under, because see, y'all don't love guns enough. Wolverines! And consequently, y'all are under threat of attack. Really? This is not a joke.
On this show, we like to do three things. We report the news, we discern the spirits, and we pray the scriptures in Jesus' name. Are you ready to pray the news with us?
Really? Chappie, pray the news. They discern the spirits. I prefer people who distill the spirits, but that's me.
Here's our first story. WesternJournalism.com reports a tragic story. A FedEx employee shot six of his coworkers using a shotgun in a gun-free zone, so he ignored the stickers on the windows. Three of those employees are now in critical condition, and two of them are in surgery, according to the hospital. And after he injured his six coworkers, the employee turned the gun and killed himself. Numerous 911 calls alerted police that there was a shooter in the building, and more than 100 police and federal officers quickly swarmed in on the location. But it took them several minutes to get there, and despite the speed with which they arrived, the damage had already been done. According to a hospital spokesperson, two of the injuries were life-threatening, specifically those of a 28-year-old man and a 52-year-old woman. The hospital also said the man was on a ventilator. Now, here's a picture from that crime scene. Notice the police swarming around, and notice also the image of the gun-free zone sticker on the windows. This photo should tell you everything you need to know. The employees who worked behind those...
Well, actually, it doesn't tell you everything you need to know, because Georgia passed its Guns Everywhere law, which means that that gun-free sticker is absolutely meaningless. That's how the lawful gun owner was able to take a gun to the FedEx office, because freedom. But anyway, we're not going to let facts get in Chappie's way. Shut up, he's on a roll.
Stickers were helpless to defend themselves. And by the way, the shooter, he's crazy, he's going to kill himself. He ignored the stickers.
Not a damn shred of evidence anywhere to suggest that this guy was anything other than a lawful gun owner. But I don't know, maybe Chappie has discerned the spirit of his insanity. We'll just have to wait and see.
Can we trust an insane man with a suicidal death wish to respect the stickers on the window?
No. But can we trust him to sell him a gun? Yeah.
Wolverines.
See how it works?
Or is he just going to bring those guns into the place where the guns are banned? This proves that the stickers are useless, and the effectiveness of gun-free zones is a matter of continuing political debate. Here's a further quote. It says, we already read that. Okay, FedEx...
Skip a bit, brother.
...is aware of the situation. Here's the official statement from their corporate offices, right? We're aware of this. We're monitoring. We're evaluating the situation. Our primary concern is the safety and well-being of our team members. No, it's not. Are you kidding? If it's that's really your concern, take the stickers off the windows. We care about the...
Give them all guns. Have them draw down on the customers when they walk through. I mean, that'll teach them a little respect. Right?
First responders and others affected. FedEx is cooperating with authorities. Yeah, but you're not cooperating with your own employees who want to defend themselves.
They're not employees, Chappie. Didn't you read the press release, you dumbass? They're team members.
Mm-hmm. Who might like the opportunity to carry their own sidearm and exercise their Second Amendment rights so they can shoot back and defend themselves.
Well, I wonder how many more people would have been shot if you had some gun goobs sitting there and along the way trying to figure out who the bad guys are. Because once that second gun comes out, well, a little bit of, ambiguity enters into the situation, doesn't it? You got one guy shooting, you got another guy shooting, you got people falling, screaming, bleeding, dying. Who's the bad guy? And then the third guy, the third freedom protector would, draws down from back behind the gizmo that drops the styro peanuts. And maybe he's the bad guy. And then the lady who fills up the Mylar balloons with helium, she draws out her freedom protector and screams, freeze, because, you know, she works with the helium. So that's four bad guys with guns, or one and three, or three and one, or two and two. And what does that leave the cops to do when they show up? Well, shoot them all and let God sort them out.
You know, this is sad to me. And
I mean, if the cops show up and everybody's got guns out, and the cops and the shooting's going on, what are the cops going to do? Just rush into the middle of it, or maybe use an RPG, or stand back with a bullhorn and say, okay, all the good guys, put down your guns. And then the good guys, because they're protecting freedom, they say, ain't no way I'm going to do that, because then I won't be free. Then it's on.
Our thanks to WesternJournalism.com, who gave us most of that news. I interspersed a little of my own analysis in the middle, but thanks to John Lott and his economic analysis. You know, the Bible says this, and there was a history in ancient Israel.
Of guns? Really? Can't wait.
The only time when the Bible talks about disarming the population were when the people were vulnerable to invasion. That's why our founding fathers gave us the Second Amendment, because they recognized America ought to be safe and secure from invasion, at least from without. That's why Japan never invaded California, because the Californians carried guns.
What, Edith?
That's why Japan never invaded California, because the Californians had guns. And oddly enough, this guy is a veteran, albeit a disgraced one, of the United States Navy. No, really. So we'll just sort of pretend that whole Pacific Fleet wasn't there. No. Back the Japanese High Military Command, they were sitting around talking, and hey, what do you think? What do you think about invading California now? Oh, no, I think this will not be wise. They have guns. No, really, I got to get one of them curly straws, the ones with all the fun for the tequila bottle. Yeah. Man, you can't beat this guy.
But not anymore. They might be vulnerable to that. At least now they're rotting from within. And there is...
Huh?
So back in the Second World War, gun-toting Californians managed to stave off invasion by the Empire of Japan. But what'd you say?
You know, the Bible says this, and there was a history in ancient Israel. The only time when the Bible talks about disarming the population were when the people were vulnerable to invasion. That's why our founding fathers gave us the Second Amendment, because they recognized America ought to be safe and secure from invasion, at least from without. That's why Japan never invaded California, because the Californians carried guns. But not anymore. They might be vulnerable to that. At least now they're rotting from within.
So, California, brothers and sisters of the Horn Family Commune Congregation, you are now, according to Chappie Klingenschmidt, vulnerable to Japanese attack. But, of course, with all that gay going on out there, you're rotting from within. And he says, at least you're rotting from within. Because I don't know. Because he's a moron. Interesting historical fact being pointed out by our good friend Luta. Alaska had lots of guns, and yet that didn't stop the Japanese from invading there. God, this guy's an idiot. Yes, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. And by the way, weren't there some artillery, maybe some anti-aircraft batteries and long-range shore guns and things like that, up and down the west coast of the United States, all the way from Alaska, Washington, Oregon, California? What, really? No. All the Californians during World War II were simply walking around with shooting guns, freedom protectors, strapped to their hips, and if they done seen a Japanese, they was going to call him out into the street, and you'd hear the wah, 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 and then there'd be a shootout, and the Japanese Empire didn't want none of that. Right. But you never know. You don't have no guns no more, California, so the wily Japanese may be just eyeballing you and waiting, just waiting, because they're patient and inscrutable like that, right? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yes, Marty pointing out. So with the entire Pacific Fleet in Hawaii, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor? Well, actually, the entire Pacific Fleet wasn't. All the aircraft carriers were gone, but never mind. Geez, says Marty, the stupid remains strong with this one. It does, it does. And see, Hawaii, as Luta points out, I guess they just didn't have enough guns. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Chappie. I mean, we're already strapped in. We got the tennis balls.
There's, I want to say, a demonic spirit of murder and suicide and abuse that reminds me of what happened in Judges chapter 5 and verse 8. When the new gods of war were chosen, the war was at the gates, they said. Was shield or spear to be seen among the 40,000 in Israel? No, they were disarmed. There were only two shields or two spears or two swords defending 40,000 people in Israel. They were vulnerable to attack.
And they didn't have no Wolverines.
And so in this case, the Bible talks against disarming the citizens. It says all the citizens ought to be armed so they can defend themselves against left-wing crazies who go in there to try and assault God's people. Would you pray with
me? Wait, what? You notice he just sort of roller coasters down there to the end? Against left-wing crazies? Is there any evidence? Because remember, this all started with a discussion of a shooting at a FedEx facility in Georgia. Has there been a dime's worth of evidence that this gun-toting, lawful, awful gun owner was some sort of, I don't know, advance guard for Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders? I'm pretty sure Al Franken didn't send them. And I'm pretty sure that I'm more left-wing. Malloy's more left-wing. My buddy Rick Smith is more left-wing. The Horn family, we're more left-wing than just about anybody. And we're not to go out and shoot somebody crowd. That's the other people with the four-wheelers and the sniper rifles. Oh, by the way, the feds did come in and start investigating there in Boogerville or wherever it is that Cloven Bundy lives. And all of a sudden, all those proud, brave patriots started to holler, "What? No, we didn't point no guns at nobody from the federal government. We didn't point no guns. They's pointing them at us." Yeah, really. But it's some left-wing crazy. Never mind the fact that usually when some place gets shot up, probably about in excess of 99% of the time, it's a right-wing, awful, lawful gun owner. But I guess Chappie's had some sort of divine revelation. Uh-oh. We have communication from Tim from L.A. I kind of had a feeling I'd be conjuring Tim. Subject line, I gotta chime in. Bob, Japan would have invaded California? Really? You gotta email me this story. I gotta write this. But honestly, Japan had no interest in attacking the U.S. Even Isoroku Yamamoto said, "I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve." If all we had in California were pistols and shotguns, Japan could wipe us out, but the attack was based upon suing for peace, because the oppression Japan had done on the continent of Asia, the U.S. was choking off Japan, and by the attack on Pearl Harbor, Japan had to sue for peace in order to rebuild its economy. And Admiral Japan knew it was beyond suicide to attack the U.S., but California? Really? Really, Tim? Really? Yeah. So here, Tim, here's the linky. Enjoy. Oh my. Steve with a note. Subject line, hidden books of the Bible. Oh, sure, Bob. God said not to disarm the people so they wouldn't be invaded. It's right there in the book of McGillicuddy in Paul's letter to the Lilliputians. Especially the part with the guns. Luda noting, oh, by the way, let's not forget, of course, Hawaii, you know, because Pearl Harbor certainly wasn't an attack. No. Do you see what the weekends do to me? It's just this steady parade of moron after moron. It's like an infestation of cockroaches in your kitchen when you turn the lights on at 3 o'clock in the morning because, well, you know, there's that leftover mac and cheese is in the fridge and you're feeling a little snackish, and you look and they're just all over the place and you go, no, please, I'm going back to bed. Which is kind of what, but I'm not. But it's prayer time with Chappie, so let's see. Now that we got the left-wing crazies out of the way, let's see what we're going to be praying.
Disarmed. There are only two shields or two spears or two swords defending 40,000 people in Israel. They were vulnerable to attack. And so in this case, the Bible talks against disarming the citizens. Says all the citizens ought to be armed so they can defend themselves against left-wing crazies who go in there to try and assault God's people. Would you pray with me? Let's take a moment and pray. Father in heaven, I do pray in Jesus' name that you will restore. Sanity to the public and to the legislators and to the corporate owners, to the FedEx ownership and to the postal employees and to their supervisors. Father, restore sanity so that we, the people, can defend ourselves, defend our wives and children.
Isn't it nice that he's praying for other people to have sanity restored to him? He never even thinks of himself. He wants sanity for other people, but he's completely happy to remain batshit crazy.
Children, defend our families, defend our coworkers against demonic attack by people who are filled with a spirit of murder and suicide. Father, until the devil is removed from all of those crazy people...
Which, Father, you could do, seeing as how you're the almighty, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-loving creator of the universe, but for some reason or another seem unable to do, which means that, oh dear.
And we pray that happens soon. But until then, Father, I pray that you would give us, the same people, the ability to defend ourselves and our families and friends. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, thanks for that, Chappie. Feeling so much saner now. Yeah, or not. I mean, right.
Straighten out that chair.
Imagine this. My chair is straight, and all the other chairs are out of order. Now, there's a real mind bender for you, right?
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
That's the only thing we're lacking when it comes to a Chappie clip, isn't it? Now we've got it. It goes on like this. It really, really does. I had a suggestion early in the program coming in from Marty. Well, not a suggestion, a nomination of Alan West, another disgraced former member of the military, like Chappie Klingenschmidt is. No, really. Ever since Michelle Obama, the first lady, tweeted her the picture of her hashtag about the girls kidnapped in Nigeria by Boko Haram, bring back our girls, isn't that the hashtag? Let's see, that skinny, icky Coltergeist. Tweeted, bring back our country. But apparently Alan West has that spirit of discernment as well.
After he was recorded on tape making racist comments, Donald Sterling has been banned from the league for life. Great, just where Sterling wanted to end up, the blacklist. And
And that was Jimmy Fallon last night. Joining us now, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, the former congressman from Florida, is the author of The Guardian of the Republic, still out and available now. You can follow him at Alan West on Twitter. Colonel, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Brian. How you doing?
So we're talking about race a lot this week, so let's begin there. When you heard those comments on tape, just you by yourself, as a black person, what's your reaction? You as an American, what's your reaction?
Well, they're disgusting. They're despicable. They're reprehensible. There's no doubt about that. And, there's no place for that type of attitude or behavior. But what is really concerning as I listen to the soundbite montage that you played, where is the outrage of the public? The outrage of the public seems to be totally focused on Mr. Sterling, but, you know, you get this thing with Benghazi, and we have an even bigger lie, even bigger deceit, which is even more impactful on the country that no one really is caring about.
All right, I will get to that in a second, and I see the relation there. But William Roden is a
well, I'm glad Brian Kilmeade does.
Also African American. He used
because everybody. Well, I mean, it's easy, right? There's Benghazi, and there's kidnapped Nigerian girls, and Benghazi is in a country that's in Africa, And Nigeria is a country that's on the continent of Africa, and Kenya is a country in the continent of Africa. So Boko Haram, Benghazi. We're going to need a bigger bottle of tequila.
I think he was writing for the New York Times last time I checked. Here he is weighing in on after the punishment was handed down, cut 15.
First of all, they should stop using the N-word in the locker room. You know, I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't say Donald Sterling, you know, disrespected us, but then you disrespect each other every day. That's got to stop, number one, or else this really means nothing. If you continue to disrespect yourself and call each other the N-word, then you know what? You are just as bad as Donald Sterling. So stop it.
Feel the same way?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I mean, it's a duplicitous hypocrisy and a double standard. And, you know, I wrote a piece this morning that's on my website, alandwest.com, in that, you know, what would happen if all of a sudden, you know, people were going and take some of the private conversations in the locker room or...
Wait. What did he say the name of that website was? Was it alandbnuts.com? Was that what it was?
Some of the private conversations in some of the homes of these NBA players. I mean, what revelations would come from that? So, I mean, we got to be careful about taking private conversations, putting that in the public domain, and then trying and convicting a person in that way through TMZ and not through, the methods of legality. Is Donald Sterling a jerk and a racist? Yeah, absolutely. But people knew about this guy, yet the NAACP was heaping honors and praise upon him as long as he was writing them checks. But now all of a sudden you got Jesse Jackson showing up, Al Sharpton wanting to, boycott the NBA if they don't get what they want. They didn't say anything about it when this guy was throwing money to these organizations, these black organizations. So it's just a massive hypocrisy all around. And as a matter of fact, I think it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that said that he felt kind of dirty and nasty listening to the, you know, those comments and participating in this and knowing of this.
Yeah, okay. So, the Boko Haram Nigerian kidnappings are fishy. That's the word, fishy. Because, after all, well, Benghazi, Wolverines. Yeah. But we've been, I may have miscommunicated a note coming in from Robert in Australia. Oh, dear, not another mass shooting in America. Once upon a time, this would be all over the news here. Can't find a thing today. It was a couple of weeks back, Robert. So, but then again, there'll be one tomorrow or day after tomorrow or 2 days after tomorrow. There'll be another one because, again, we have this deal in America where we say that we're willing to sacrifice our husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews. We're willing to sacrifice somebody's 5-year-old or somebody else's 9-year-old so that a bunch of paranoid lunatics with guns can keep feeling like they're somehow doing something for the country when, in fact, all they're doing is shilling for the gun industry. But that's how it works. Robert continues, meanwhile, here in Australia, where we're all basically unarmed, nothing since the Monash University shootings of 2002. One metal exchange student who borrowed guns from the gun club shot two other students. He was confirmed confined to a high security hospital for up to 25 years. Can you imagine that Chappie Gordon is actually praying for more guns? Missed that whole live by the sword, die by the sword thing, I guess. Well, that's just swords. Ain't nothing there about ball bats, nor maces, nor Tech Nines, or Uzis, or that the really long 8-inch barreled 44 Magnum. No. Except in the book of Judges. Thanks going out to Frank. Thank you very much. We are making our way through the fundraising goal for this evening. And thanks to Sal
between Asa and Sal and Frank. We're now at $50. We've only got 10 folks at $10 a piece, two at 50, three at $33.33333333 cents, because it's a repeating decimal, right? It's an infinite decimal, isn't it, to get to this evening's fundraising goal. And we're only an hour into the program. Note coming in from Kate. Prayer for the wrong thing, the subject line. That person should be praying for protection for the four-wheelers who degraded and defiled sacred land. That area fairly bristles with the spirits of the ancestors. Those spirits will get retribution some way or other, some way or another. I shudder when I think about what's about to befall those disrespectful white folks. My, oh my. A person has to be numb to not feel the energy on those lands. Bless them all. They're in for some very difficult times. Not to be mean-spirited or anything, but Kate, I hope you're right. I mean, what, are we talking about like a big boulder falling off a cliff in some sort of kind of Wile E. Coyote situation? Because that one county commissioner, Goober, from Utah, I would happily provide him a little teeny tiny flimsy-ass umbrella so he could put it up and say, Mother! Or the little poster placard that merely says, Help! Because, you know, freedom means being able to desecrate ancient remains. Jim, with a note earlier, a little bit ago, saying, oh, I'm sure they'll leave nothing but four-wheel ruts and take nothing but pictures. Oh, yeah, right. No, don't think so. Hey, look! I done found me a clay pot. I guess somebody must have left it last time they was in here. I'm going to take it home, all right, y'all? Wrong accent, probably, but close enough. Oh, speaking of children getting gunned down. Little Grace McDonald was a lovely child. She's one of the people that Adam Lanza chopped all to pieces at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut. And, of course, Adam Lanza had access to guns because Mother Lanza was out there protecting freedom and wasn't sure when she was just going to have to wall it all off and head for the safe room. So, yeah, on December 14th, 2012, Adam Lanza shot little Grace McDonald all to pieces. So, over in Mystic, Connecticut, there was a peace sign symbol made of vinyl. And it had been installed in the playground in Mystic, Connecticut, and it was dedicated to little Grace McDonald. Because in the wake of a horror like this, what in the hell else can you do? And it's not some shabby little sign either. It weighed a good 50 pounds. It designated the Grace McDonald Playground. Yeah, let's go to the report from CBS2. I hope. Or not. It's sad enough as it is. The long and the short of it is that the sign was stolen. The sign was stolen because people like Alex Jones take to the air and say things like, that whole Sandy Hook shooting thing was a false flag operation to take away our guns.
And so one of those minions, Jesus, presumably under cover of darkness, went into the Grace McDonald playground and stole the sign that noted that Grace McDonald had died in the Sandy Hook massacre and that the playground was dedicated with love to her memory by virtue of an action by Where Angels Play Foundation. Their plan is to create and dedicate 26 planned playgrounds, one for every victim of the Sandy Hook massacre, students and adults alike. The Grace McDonald playground was one of the first ones up. In an act of what can only be considered absolute moronic barbarity, the thief then called Grace McDonald's Mama Lynn. And when she answered the phone, the guy said, "I just wanted to let you know I stole that sign from the playground with your daughter's name and picture on it. And I did it because I know that your daughter never even existed. It was a false flag operation." Lynn McDonald presumably had to identify the remains of little Grace, such as they were. This brutal, hate-filled moron apparently couldn't get through life without defacing the child's memory. And over the Mother's Day weekend, called Grace's mama to tell her what he had done. I guess the good thing is that the signs, because another one's been defaced as well. The good thing is that the sign will be replaced. The bad thing is that there's probably another Sandy Hook truther out there who's willing to go and take another big steaming dump on the agonized, miserable place where Grace's mama's heart used to be. But we do have to remember that guns keep us free. And sometimes that freedom can be noisy and disturbing. So because all the problems in the state of Alabama have been solved, Alabama Stan, because Alabama state government can't be bothered to take up the issue of providing expanded Medicaid to its working citizens who cannot otherwise have health care, yeah, well, the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources in Alabama has an advisory board, and they sat down and had themselves a little vote last week. And the issue they were voting on, the proposal, when it came time to for the yeas and nays, the yeas had it unanimously. And Alabama will now be one of, oh my God, over 30 states in these United States of America that allows, no, really,
that allows hunters to stalk their prey and shoot their prey with a silencer attached to the end of the rifle barrel. A silencer. Really? A deer? A deer is so darned fast that it can outrun a bullet from the moment that the muzzle blast is created, that the big bang happens. I mean, not that big bang, but a big bang. The National Rifle Association got all excited for freedom because of this. Fred Harders, is director of the Department of Conservation, Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries Unit of the Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, and he said, when someone is hunting around an urban area, it will allow that to take place without bothering people nearby, and it can help with damage to the ear, especially with young people. See, it's humanitarian. And it'll probably protect the hearing of, say, the deer, just in the last few seconds before it stops being a living thing on the planet. I guess it's a good thing that they're going to protect young people's hearing in Alabama, because a lot of those young people can't get anything done about their hearing because they're uninsured. This might be an appropriate time for me to mention that there is a I've published a long piece that I was inspired to write during my recent visit to Summersville Hospital. We talked a little bit about this Friday evening, and as a matter of fact, about hearing the political ad for Charlotte Lane, who's running for the Republican nomination for the 2nd District congressional seat being vacated by West Virginia's single most corrupt governor ever, Arch Moore, by his daughter, because she's going to probably wind up in the Senate of the United States. Ew. Charlotte Lane's got a commercial where the voiceover announcer says, and Charlotte Lane will go to Washington and fight against Obamacare. And I'm laying in the hospital bed, and I hear that, and it's on. So I hit publish on that last night. It's over at headonradionetwork.com. I took my inspiration for it from Dr. King's letter from Birmingham Jail. You'll find it. It's called Letter from Summersville Hospital. Catchy title, huh? Feel free to go and read it. Share it around if you care to. Because what I'd like to do with this story, or with this piece, this opinion piece, what I'd really like to do is broaden the discussion and widen the understanding of what it means in terms of what this country is, that we have states that have been allowed to reject a federal program that gives them free money. Because you see, what happened was it's a subtle sort of backdoor nullification. Yeah, we're back to that again. And it's also a reframing and reinstitutionalizing of the essence of Plessy versus Ferguson and separate but equal accommodations. I mean, that's exactly what it is. When a sick person can go to the doctor in West Virginia but can't in Alabama, well, the person who can't in Alabama is separate but equal to the sick person in West Virginia. How hard do you have to whip these people for them to know they're beat? I don't have an answer. I can, however, tell you that it is 15 minutes past the hour, and that we'll kind of close the we'll close the filibobster in a minute, because I have to there's just a couple more here to get into the rotation for Moran Monday. Let's see, we've been to Connecticut, we've been to Alabama. Guess Colorado for Chappie. Been to West Virginia for a little bit of good old-fashioned home, homegrown hillbilly xenophobia. One of these is not native to West Virginia. And a picture of a kangaroo holding a man's birth in Australia against him. Jesus, still stuns me. So let's broaden the journey and wander on up to North Dakota. The University of North Dakota is, of course, the principal higher education institution there. University of North Dakota used to be the Fighting Sioux until the NCAA ruled that that was just wrong and deeply disrespectful. You know, along the same lines as riding four-wheelers through the sacred remains of an ancient culture in the southeastern corner of Utah. The Fighting Sioux mascot was disrespectful, and it is. Well, there was a big party at the University of North Dakota this past weekend, I guess, at which the party-goers wore T-shirts with a profile representation of a Native American in, of course, war bonnet, with the hose of a beer bong stuck in his mouth, and bearing the legend Super, spelled S-I-O-U-X-P-E-R, Super Drunk. Oh, the mommies and daddies of those young scholars just must be so proud. And it wasn't just the NCAA, by the way, who got rid of the Fighting Sioux mascot. There was actually a democratically held election, a vote, on the campus of the University of North Dakota, where the vote was overwhelming to ditch that racist mascot. Over at the website Last Real Indians, Ruth Hopkins noted, Native mascots personify the widespread systemic racism against Native people that still prevails in the subconscious of Western society. The Fighting Sioux-esque super drunk tees worn at UND's Spring Fest by UND students are proof positive that Native mascots are harmful and degrading to Native people, and that retiring all race-based mascots is not only appropriate but necessary. The drunken Indian caricature is one of the worst stereotypes about Native people that there is. Europeans introduced alcohol to the indigenous population in America. Prior to their arrival, Native people did not drink alcohol at all. Since then, Europeans have been pretty successful at using alcohol to subdue and assimilate Natives. Not entirely correct, because the Mesoamerican people made a beverage, a very fermented beverage, out of fermented maguey juice. I don't think you... Are you supposed to pronounce the G? Need a little help. It was called by them Octli, O-C-T-L-I. It is still consumed today in Mexico and is called in Spanish pulque, P-U-L-Q-U-E. So there was some alcohol, but it certainly was not distilled to, you know, 100 proof, 80 proof, and it was, and no, there's no evidence to suggest that Octli had ever made it north of the Rio Grande. So what Ruth Hopkins says is largely true, and it is absolutely true that an image, that this kind of imagery. I mean, really? I mean, I got a picture here in front of me of a young female scholar holding her fingers up with her little finger and her index fingers extended and the other two missing, you know, like, party on, dude. And she's got her baseball cap on backwards, and she's got her tongue sticking out. And you can just tell that when the photo was shot, she was going, woo! I think I know who the savages are. So let's go to the phones. You know the number, by the way, 304-658-3333. On Skype, if you want to jump in that way, and that's just fine and dandy if you do, Bob Kincaid Horn is the Skype contact, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. So much more to talk about, too. For pity's sakes, there's the Michael Sam story to get to. The NFL now has its first openly gay player. One hopes he will be successful with the St. Louis Rams. As Dr. John pointed out to me, he was the lowest round draft choice of any Southeastern Conference Defensive Player of the Year ever. Wonder why that would be. Well, we may just never know. To the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello, Edward.
Yes, I heard you mention pulque.
Yes.
Years ago when I was in Mexico, I had pulque.
What did you think? I've never been able to try it, and I've always been curious.
It's some kind of good, and it will set you free.
dreams and see visions?
Oh, yes. You might even
Kind of thick and syrupy, isn't it?
No, it's, well, you know, it's made from a cactus. And this guy showed me how they make it. They just hollow out the heart of the cactus, and the juice comes in, and then it ferments, and then you drink it.
I'm enchanted.
Well, it was fun, but I was young then. After I had the pulque, I think that I remembered climbing to the top of the Temple of the Sun.
You think you remember?
I think I remember.
You may have just flown there, Edward.
I could have, probably. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed you all talking last week about the Outer Banks of North Carolina. That's my old stomping ground.
It is, isn't it?
It sure is. And let me tell you, their clam chowder and conch chowder on the Outer Banks is the best you ever had.
Well, you know, I've got, you'll enjoy this because you just recently celebrated your own nuptials. My colleague and, well, my brother, Bo Webb, is getting married this weekend on the Outer Banks.
Oh, wow, where?
I'm not sure exactly where, but I got a call from him today. He was trying to just sort of decompress from the stress inherent with having an impending wedding by sitting with his butt in a little folding chair on the beach and a little flimsy plastic umbrella over his head. And he said, Bob, I wish you were here. You got to see this. There's a whole school of porpoises out here playing 100 feet in front of me.
That's right. That's absolutely right. There's also a little church there called St. Mary's by the Sea. That's the only church I've ever attended in my life where you could go into the church for a service wearing your swimsuit.
Well, I think we're all swimmers in the eyes of the Lord, aren't we?
Yes. Well, see, along the North Carolina coast, there are four big lighthouses. Well, the Ocracoke Lighthouse isn't very big, but it's been in operation since 1833, and it means a lot to me because my dad was born in 1902, and when he was 12 and 13 years old, he used to go down to Ocracoke and spend the summer with his cousin there, who was the lighthouse keeper on Ocracoke.
Oh, God, that's all just so beautiful down there.
I know, I know. Yes, it is. I miss it. But anyhow, I just wanted to thank you all. And, of course, there's a whole string of little towns there. There's Manteo, Nag's Head, Kill Devil Hills.
Yeah.
And then if you go far enough north, you run into Duck. Now, Duck used to be so tiny, if you blink when you went through it, you wouldn't even see it. But now it's a big resort, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly.
You know how that goes.
Yeah, it gets gentrified, and next thing you know, there goes the neighborhood.
Yeah, well, the Ocracoke Lighthouse there, there's a little bay there. And the legend goes that the British captured Blackbeard the pirate, and they came into that bay, and they hanged him from the yardarm, and then they were so afraid of him that they beheaded him and threw his body on one side of the ship and his head on the other. And now on dark and stormy nights, you can see this headless corpse holding a lantern, walking around the bay looking for his head.
Is there pulque involved with seeing the headless corpse, Edward? I just want to square things up here.
I didn't see any headless corpses. It was sort of la-di-da land.
Edward, it's wonderful to hear from you.
Yeah, by the way, would somebody tell Ron Paul to quit wearing, Rand Paul to quit wearing that roadkill on his head?
Has anybody identified, I want to look at it and say weasel, but I think that's more of a reflection of what I'm sort of transferring onto his person, because weasels don't have, are there curly-haired weasels out there?
I've never seen one.
You know, the great curly-haired weasel of Kentucky or something? No,
I don't know what it
or
is.
Just every now and then he just goes and snips off the pom-poms on a well-coiffed poodle?
I think it's roadkill. I mean, something that's been run over by an 18-wheeler.
Well, yeah. The other day, Ferg and I drove past an unfortunate possum, and Ferg looked at me and said, "You think he's playing?" And I looked at him and said, "No, son, I think he went pro."
Yeah, well, see, I have a possum in my backyard, a great big one, and I also have raccoons in my backyard, and I live in the middle of Dallas, and we also have coyotes that come into town.
Oh, coyotes. Oh, dear God, yeah. I mean, they're here. We've got them here.
Oh, you did? Well, we got them here in Dallas, too.
And we also have in this state now hybrid coyote wolves.
Oh, dear.
They're a real party.
They sure would be, let me tell you. Mm-mm. I wouldn't want to come in contact with one of those critters.
No.
My great aunt, Bet, told me this story years ago. She remembered Abraham Lincoln when she was a girl, she and her sister. Their farm had a picket fence around it. And back in those days, we had in there in North Carolina what they called panthers. They were mountain lions is what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And they sounded like a woman screaming when they let loose with their yell.
Hey, it is blood-curdling.
Yeah. And so those two little girls, they started answering them, and they coached those mountain lions clear up to the picket fence until their mother found out what they were doing, and they never did that again.
I reckon not. But they apparently could have had a career as hunting guides, right?
Well, probably could have. Well, take care.
All right, Edward, you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, and same to you and all of the Horn family.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Our buddy Edward calling from Dallas. Onward we roll. Hey, welcome to the program.
You don't look like you're around from these here parts, buddy.
Yeah, one of these is native to West Virginia.
And one of them ain't.
One of them ain't.
I think Charlotte Lane, she's using that against Mooney as well.
Yeah, but you know what? It fits a little better with Mooney.
Yeah, it fits exactly. Actually.
Well, I was thinking Mooney Gooney. The guy was a member of the Maryland State Senate and moved across the state line to West Virginia because he couldn't win in Maryland. So I guess he figures we're the hillbillies are dumb enough to elect him.
Yeah, he's all into the God-given rights to have a gun. So it's a God-given right, but natural right. So anyway, I was just calling about mail. I was
okay. You tell me, Jethro, is that off-putting?
Yeah, I have pros and cons about that. That is a little bit off-putting.
I mean, I thought Mel had better sense than that. I mean, really, you gotta go the xenophobic smear?
I think it's more of a cultural provincialism.
Well, xenophobia probably is.
Listen, I can go Easter. I can go into Richmond District here in Raleigh County, and even though my grandfather was down there years ago, when you had to go down to Meadow Creek down in Summers County, come across the river on a ferry, and then go up the mountain. You know, I was down there. I was an outsider, 20 miles out of Begley. 30 years back in time, and I was an outsider, shunned. So, but anyway, that's kind of Mel's so rigid in a lot of things. I mean, he got he also the big stick thing is he touts that he got rid of Mayor Pugh, and so I guess somebody in the Raleigh County Commission or something.
Well, all I remember is the last time he was in the legislature, he introduced a bill that said churches didn't have to pay gasoline tax.
Well, he's all about church and the Bible, but his stand against gays.
Yeah, he's not. He's not. Mel's pretty much homophobe.
Yeah, he's a little bit too paranoid about that. I mean, nobody's going to take his job away. His son's a dentist or something. I think he's concerned that somebody's going to give it to his son. But yeah. So. I just heard if his son was renting to somebody, some crazy, and then he came out, he's talking bad about marijuana, too. He said, well, the drug problem in West Virginia is so bad, and then they want to legalize this stuff, too.
That's
hello, Mel. Legalize the weed, and you get rid of the OxyContin problem, the heroin problem. You get rid of it.
Or legalize the cannabis, and then you've got resources to double down and devote to fighting the. But then again, I don't think you solve the meth, pill, what have you problem. I don't think you solve that by warehousing people in incarceration facilities.
Oh no, that's not a good thing. But you legalize cannabis, and you're going to get rid of the pill problem. You're going to have to quit. You won't have to prescribe pills to anyone anymore. You can prescribe marijuana for them. I mean, there's edible forms. They've got vape pens now. Did I mention I went to Colorado last month?
No, you didn't mention.
Nice
place, Colorado?
Nice place. Seemingly plenty of freedom.
Really? Well, that's only because they got a lot of guns, Jethro.
I didn't see anyone packing. And I didn't see any, no preachers or... worried people standing outside any of these establishments, worry about who's going in and going out. Just like going into 7-Eleven. Pretty wild.
A 7-Eleven that kind of had a skunky smell to it?
Yeah. And some of them have grow rooms and stuff. And for the, and it's, everything is actually set up for the medical patient.
Yeah.
And, now, we went into one place in a kind of a seedier place in Denver, outskirts, that was security.
Seedier? Really? You're going to work that one, are you?
It was a little seedy. Well, I was looking around, and then my buddy was rummaging through his luggage with his back turned, getting his wallet. And I'm saying, somebody's going to come up on you. And I said, you can't do this in town where we're at. So, anyway, I was a little paranoid, too, but... We had to shut
down. Well, sometimes that kicks in.
Yeah, you might want to look around. So anyway, we had to show our IDs on the outside, and then we went through a lock and electronic thing. And then inside we had to show them again. But everything's set up, and there's one section of what they call recreational, and then another section that's medical. And the people in there going for recreational cannot, off limits to them.
Right, and it's
medical versus recreational is also limited as to the quantity you can buy, right?
In Colorado, I think if you're a resident, you can buy an ounce at each location. If you're an out-of-state resident, you can buy a quarter of an ounce at each location. But you can buy as many edibles as you want, and that doesn't count on the 7 grams that you're purchasing on the, you know, if you're purchasing the weed itself. They've got edibles, lollipops, lemonade, you name it.
Lemonade?
Yeah. And it's got like 100 milligrams of THC in them. And they're breaking it down now. There's a couple of sites on the internet. I mean, this is big business. I mean, this is $1 million.
Yeah, so God forbid West Virginia with a crippled up economy that can't do anything but build Walmarts and blow up mountains.
Yeah.
God, I mean, we've got a healthy little tourism industry. Imagine all the people that come here to Whitewater Raft if they could go and, you know, get a little something and.
Oh, you wouldn't want them high on the river. It'd be dead all over the place. Yeah,
be bobbing down the New River, wouldn't they, Jethro?
Yeah.
It'd be madness.
Yeah.
It'd be madness, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be. But it would be great for us. I mean, legalize that. Hell, they might as well go ahead and legalize. I mean, they've legalized gambling. Why not prostitution? People would be rolling in here like hotcakes wanting to spend their money. And that's what they were doing out in Colorado. We were out there during spring break, and, you know, there was all kinds of out-of-state license plates besides ours. So, no questions asked. All you got to do is show your ID. And, you know, let me tell you something. When you're 63 years old and you get the feeling that you had when you were a kid going into the penny candy store,
mail a card to mother.
You know? Praise the Jesus.
Hallelujah, I am reborn.
So, now the medical part of it, there's just so much more selection, so much more, and it's cheaper as well.
Now, well, that's because you're not having to pay off a bunch of organized crime middlemen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you're not, you know, you're not the pharmaceutical industry and all these payoffs and stuff. You know, it's unreal. Unreal, the potential for it. And they're coming out, you know, it's not only the THC, but it's also the big thing is the CBD, the cannabinoids.
Yeah.
That is the pain and the anti-seizure medication, stuff like that. And they're actually developing several strains now that have a really low THC concentrate, but have a high CBD concentrate. And they're selling that for people's children. People are flocking in there to get that because nothing else is helping their...
Well, you know, I had a conversation with a fellow who was in the hospital with me last week. And, of course, and he had terrible, terrible, ungodly, just gut-bending abdominal pain. And for a reason. And so they've got him sitting there hooked up to a bag of narcotics. And, you know, he's kind of, you know, it'll slow you down a little bit, even... And we were just talking there, and he said, I said, you know, wouldn't it be a little easier if cannabis was legal in this state? I mean, instead of getting whacked out of your mind, because the thing is, they'll give that to you in the hospital, but if your condition is chronic instead of acute, and I'm not working chronic in there just because I'm hip, but if your problem's chronic, You can't get a standing script for the pain medication that makes it possible for you to get through the day. You know, they'll prescribe you 12 or 24, and if you take those every 4 to 6 hours like the label says, you're out, and then, you know, hell yawns open again. Wouldn't it be just a hell of a lot more humane, Jethro?
A lot more if you could go down to the corner store, and even better if you could just go out in the back. Your own yard, and you know, just like growing your own medicinal herbs or something.
Nah, deer would eat that too around here.
So they get you a greenhouse, I guess. Anyway, I mean, that's the way to go, and the profit margin in it. I just, you know, I can't believe why we are so behind. I believe they tried to introduce it in the legislature. Now there was something that automatically kicked in about some hemp research going on. And that's the next big thing, too.
Well, and that's the, you know, where hemp is concerned, for heaven's sakes, You could set 1,000 square miles of hemp fields on fire and breathe every last smoke molecule that comes off of it and get nothing but a headache.
That's right.
It ain't psychoactive.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. Because up in Grant County, up around Petersburg, they grew that during World War II all along the Potomac River up there. And it's still growing up there like hotcakes. Looks exactly like, you know, the high THC stuff. But it's like you say, it's hemp. It's used for, you know, rope and everything. If we could just cash in on that and get progressive here and quit worrying about all this coal. Yeah, have you heard some of these Bill Rainey rants on the Hoppy Show?
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it makes me want to puke. They just refuse to fess up to what's going on.
Well, it's and they also refuse to be confronted by reality. I guess we shouldn't be surprised by that, Jethro, because, you know, this is the crowd that denies the global warming, climate change, climate catastrophe, massive changes in the earth. None of that's all fake. It's a big fraud. It's just, you know, made up.
Give Bill Rainey a big edible and roll him up a huge one and,
Well, I mean, that man's got a pain.
Never be the same.
That man's got a pain condition of his own.
So.
And, you know, I can see where an edible would, like, help.
Oh, yeah.
But,
and when I worked in the jail, I saw so many poor victims in there. They had been in car wrecks. They got hurt in the mines. You name it. You know, it's rough down here. It's rough living in West Virginia. And so what's happened? They go to the doctor. They get put on pain medication, get hooked. Doctor cuts them off. You know, next thing you know, they're down, you know, they're up the holler. Getting the oxys or what now?
Right, yeah, they're going down. They're using the Rush Limbaugh method.
Exactly. Have you heard his voice lately?
Yeah.
Man, is he hopped up? I mean, bad. Okay, anyway, but yeah, he needs some weed too. So I just, you know, the whole crazy. I mean, talk about madness. It just, none of it makes any sense. It's almost like, damn, man, is everything a lie here? What's going on?
You'd almost think, Jethro, that they want to make this place be some, that they're, you'd almost think they're trying to depopulate the place, wouldn't you?
You would think so. So the jobs, you know, the guys that behind the counter, they're called bud tenders.
Beautiful. You know, I keep hearing about Colorado. I wonder how the experiment's working out in Washington State.
I would say it's probably doing well. I haven't heard much about it. So I don't know if they're trying to suppress, you know, you don't know about the media anymore either. All that's controlled and stuff, and what information you get. You have to go on the Internet and scrounge around, you know, for anything besides the mainstream media. And they're against, you know, they're slowly starting to be pro-marijuana and stuff, too. But it's like, what is the deal? You know, half of these people and half of these politicians or more, they have been involved in drugs. You know, and all these executives, they're all on cocaine and stuff. They know about drugs. Politicians know about drugs, but they will not tell the truth about it. I don't get it.
Well, around here, I guess I'm just so cynical, Jethro, that I see it as a function of this whole state is a company town, more so in southern West Virginia than northern.
Oh, yeah.
But we are. And,
oh, yeah.
And northern West Virginia is a company town for the fracking industry. And I don't know. Is it maybe that they perceive that whole Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, problem, that if something like cannabis was legal in this state, that people would get that third eye just squeegeed clean?
Can't have that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and that's why they want to push alcohol and stuff. You know, push the alcohol and cigarettes. That's what helps keep you blind and stuff. Especially the alcohol, that's unconscious. Plus, if you keep drinking and keep drinking, it's a depressant. You're going to start getting depressed.
Oh, sure.
And you go to the doctor and say, man, doc, I'm feeling depressed. You know, I'm going out and drinking 4 or 5 beers a night. Next thing you know, you're drinking 4 or 5 beers a night, plus you're on, you know, Prozac or who knows what. Your brain chemistry's getting messed up. It's like
madness.
Crazy. Madness.
I know.
I don't get it. So, hopefully within the next 5 years, all this is going to break open. People are going to see it as a medicine, And a good medicine's for what it is. You know,
well, what,
it's
I guess, I guess one of the places where I sort of have my disassociative moment, Jethro, is trying to figure out, I think we've done a very good job in this state of demotivating young people from participating in the political process in the first place. But for heaven's sakes, this is a place where young voters could make a huge difference. I mean, maybe wouldn't it be nice to?
Oh yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice to be able to go through life without a pot bust?
For real.
I mean, in 100 years or less, I think it's happening right now, where we look at the brutality of pot crimes and we go, Jesus, what a bunch of heathen barbarity.
Madness. Yeah, and and the state police are not going to want to let go of these helicopter patrols and all this millions of dollars of funding and their military looking overalls they got, whatever it is you say.
Oh yeah. Oh, by the way, separate topic. Did you happen to catch that story about Boone County, West Virginia, has only one member of the House of Delegates? He is, of course, a Republican. He's a young'un. And for the last two legislative sessions, and for those not familiar with our system, our legislature really does meet for only 6 weeks a year. He missed the entirety of this last legislative session and half of the previous one because he was on Air National Guard duty.
Oh, I'm billed for it.
And he took his $15,000 state government payday for both.
That's pretty typical.
That's what you call getting the back feet in the trough along with the front ones.
He's just warming up his political career with that little bit of change. So down there, Boone County, Mingo, down there, that's small change. He's just getting warmed up. So that stuff goes on all the time. Those guys, I don't know, who found it out or whatever, but I don't know. So, but anyways, I think male is back to male. Male's a straight rod, dude. I mean, he'll look you in the eye and tell you exactly what he thinks. And he's
he'll tell you what he believes.
Well, okay, what he believes. So, I mean, but on the other hand, Mick is, Chamber of Commerce. And to me, the Beckley Chamber of Commerce, I mean, they supported Pew and,
Yeah.
And they've made Beckley into the fast food heaven of, seemingly of West Virginia. I mean, there's a fast food joint. There's no real jobs being created in Beckley.
Well, and there's no real the thing I object to as a food nerd, Jethro, is that Beckley has absolutely no or next to no local food culture. There are no great cooks doing great things in Beckley.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird because there's all kinds of it happening in little old piss Aunt Fayetteville.
Oh, yeah, just 20 miles away. Now, they got the Dish Cafe, and they're getting some local produce. I think they're getting their meats from this lady up in Greenbrier County.
I mean, there's...
They're trying to be a local and...
There's a sushi chef at Kimono Ken, which I think is a little bit of a chain, but there's a sushi chef at the Beckley Kimono Ken who is doing brilliant things. I mean, just intensely creative.
But that's, I've...
And of course, you've got, what is it, you've got the Char and Pasquale Mira, and that's about it.
Yeah.
As far as, really local stuff. But you're right about that. I think of the three, I gotta feel, Bates was Chamber of Commerce, and none of those three are going to come out and say a damn thing about the real crisis in southern West Virginia because, this is a mono economy and it's a fiefdom.
Yeah. Now, Gordy Roop, that's Jack Roop's son.
Yeah, that's just old family politics, right?
Right,
there.
Right. Now, Roop was responsible for turning Grandview over to the feds. That's kind of what had got him thrown out of office. So.
Yeah.
But he's been on the political thing there.
Where I'm concerned, I'd just as soon take a chance with Mick Bates. Of course, I don't get a vote in that election.
Right, right. Well, I'll be heading over there tomorrow. I was just trying to weigh you know, the pluses and minuses. Mel is just so rigid, but he's, I don't know.
Well, unless there's something to indicate to the contrary, I can't imagine either Roop or Bates going to Charleston and being as much of a raging homophobe as Mel is. And I'll tell you straight up, Jethro, I'm just sick of the homophobia.
Right.
I'm sick of it. I'm disgusted with it. It embarrasses me. I mean, we got this story out of Mingo County, for God's sakes, where a little girl was demoted because she was raped.
Hmm.
Oh, it's disgusting. I mean.
Oh yeah, that was the big scandal where the two boys were. One of them's parents were with the Board of Education or something, and they thought they could. Well, they were bullying, I guess, and getting away with it.
Right. And, it was bad enough that West Virginia's absolutely useless carpetbagger attorney general actually got involved.
Morrissey, that's a, what a clown he is.
But he's trying to get an injunction. He asked for it last Thursday against the Mingo County Board of Education. Two girls that say they were molested and sexually assaulted by two male students at the school and on a field trip. They were seventh graders in 2012. Then they made the complaint about being groped on a school bus and in the computer lab. And the next thing you know, they were threatened with discipline for dropping the dime on the rapists.
Right, right.
But see what's going on here. The subtext of this, Jethro, is that Morrissey is trying to stave off a Steubenville. You know, that nasty business up there with the girl
right.
from Wheeling.
Yeah,
yeah, he's trying to keep this thing from blowing up in his face.
Now, Melvin Cunningham, the coach they mentioned, I think he played football for Marshall back, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years ago maybe.
So, well, I mean, the filing, the court filing from the AG's office names Melissa Webb, who's principal of Birch Middle School in Delbarton, Deanna Maynard, who's the vice principal, Hester Keatley, the guidance counselor, Melvin Cunningham, one of the coaches, and Randy Keithley, who's superintendent of Mingo County Schools.
Yeah, they got to feast them down there. I mean, you get elected or something, you're royalty. You can start lording it over everybody, and, you know, everybody, you know, on the poop list down below you on the pecking order, just like they're afraid to do anything. They'll lose their jobs. You know, I'm sure those people thought they would lose their jobs in the school system if they, you know, things got bad. Mingo County is so corrupt, you just don't know what the connections and stuff are. And
yeah, Coach Cunningham threatened one of the girls.
Yeah.
And said, you can't do nothing about this because there ain't no witnesses.
Yeah. That was the thing about, you know, Spike Maynard's death there a couple of weeks ago. It's like, you know, there's no mention of, you know, him coming from Mingo County, probably, you know,
yeah. Well,
contributing to things going on down there. I mean, he was there for years as a judge. I mean, I don't think things turned sour, you know, immediately after he left. So, I mean, what we're talking about here is a complete pattern of corruption, you know, throughout the state.
Yeah.
Fueled by the coal industry, by big money. So, the extraction industry. So it's bad.
Yeah, you kind of got to put mountaintop removal and fracking hand in hand in this state now.
Yes.
I saw a post from one of my activist friends from the northern part of the state, and she said, she said something about, I can't believe the noise from this frack pad three miles away. I can only imagine what it's like to have to live with it, you know, next door.
Right. And having, you know, radioactive substances put down the ground and having your water table.
Well, that's good stuff. I mean, we use radiation to diagnose disease, Jethro. It's a good thing.
So that's what happened to my ancestors. They owned, you know, on both sides of my grandparents, my mom's side, they owned almost all of Maxwell Hill on top up there.
Oh, wow.
Mines came in, started drilling and stuff. Wells went dry.
Sure. Yeah, because it's just a stone's throw from Maxwell Hill to the Exhibition Coal Mine.
Right.
But by God, if you go to that Exhibition Coal Mine, you won't read any placards about how people's lives were ruined.
Right.
I mean, one of these days, Beckley's just going to collapse into itself because the whole damn town's undermined.
Right. All that place there, well, in front of the armory, and then there, all that strip there, the Raleigh Mall stuff on both sides was underground, too. So or, you know, mines. So,
yeah. And all the way out there toward Cranberry Elementary and even the hospice center out there, which is a brilliant facility. But that's all undermined.
Right, right. So, and they just, you know, sold out for pennies and moved away. So, but then somebody else took over. You know, they had the money and all that stuff. So it's just a bad deal. I mean, it's been a bad deal from the get-go. That's what gets me. You know, you'll see on Facebook and other places, people, you know, talk about, yeah, my daddy, my granddaddy, my great-grandpappy, they all worked the mines, and like it's a romantic novel.
Or a badge of honor, and it's bullshit because the one that drives me up the wall is, Co is our heritage.
Right.
No, oppression by the coal industry is a big part of our heritage.
Exactly.
But for people like my great-grandfather and probably yours, standing up to the coal industry and having the guts to do what's right, even when it may cost you your life, that is heritage.
Right.
And none of these pissant mountaintop removal workers have that kind of guts anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget being told the story by a local DJ friend of mine about how the mountaintop removal workers will stop in the parking lot and rub dirt on their faces before they go into the bar to make them look more sexy to the women's.
Manly. Yeah, I've been reminded of that since I was a kid. On my dad's side, they're buried up there at Leyland. They lived in Thurman. My grandfather was a constable in Thurman, like in the early 19-teens and in the 20s there.
Yeah, well, you know, that roadside marker's right there at Leyland, which is not too far from Winona.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, we've lost 90% of the Horn family by now. Yeah, over there by Leyland and Winona.
Yeah, it's up there. But there's up there, it was March 15th, you know, or something like that, 15, you know, the mine portal was right there where the church sits, up by the Leyland graveyard up on top.
Yes, it is.
So,
That's the story. I've told the story to the Horn family about how all the dead immigrant miners who kept their money on them were curiously enough found bereft of any they died paupers.
I hear you. And there's a story of one guy who somehow, you know, barricaded and saved several guys, a bunch of his friends and stuff, and then he later died in another explosion where, you know, he wasn't able to save himself. So. But then I also lived down Eccles as well. My grandfather used to tell me about that. And if you look down there at the Eccles portal and then look across to the other side of the ridge where it blew men and mules and stuff out of the mine when it exploded.
Yeah, I mean, way up into the air.
Unbelievable. Quarter of a mile. So that was back in the days where a mule was more valuable than a man.
Yeah.
So
now a man trip is.
Yeah. But the attitude of Rainey and the co-ops, it's still the same as it was, you know, back in the mule's more valuable days.
Yeah.
So, coal's on the way out in West Virginia. We need to realize that. You know, I hope Manchin comes back and runs for governor and is defeated. That would take a miracle, perhaps, but I think that's what we need. We need to get rid of some of this dead weight. Shelley Capito. Unbelievable.
How's Natalie Tennant going to beat her when all she does is the same pro-coal cheerleading that Shelley does?
Right. Right. Well, I guess that's the lesser of two evils.
I mean, it's no claim to fame or anything, but it was January 5th of 2014 when the Gazette published my op-ed calling on Natalie to at least, you know, not even to say a bad word about coal, but to at least acknowledge there's a health crisis in southern West Virginia.
Yeah.
Nothing. And then, lo and behold, 4 days later... I'll be damned. 300,000 people's water's been poisoned by a coal washing chemical.
Yeah. Well, one of our best hopes, to me, Charlotte Pritt, was destroyed by Manchin and some other Democrats, you know.
Can you imagine how much different this state might have been if Charlotte Pritt had been governor?
It's hard to imagine. We could be in that progressive slot that we're talking about right now, looking forward, having jobs. And having tourists coming in, begging to get in there and spend their money, you know. Give me some of that wage.
Well, you know, she's up at the top of the pecking order of the
of the Mountain Party now, and I had a little conversation with her several months ago. Smart, smart woman.
Oh, she is brilliant.
But, and I say this as somebody who loves and respects the Mountain Party, until the Mountain Party can start running people for county commissioner and dog catcher and land surveyor.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to, and this is not me gooning, no, but you gotta build that before you can ever hope to win a congressional seat.
I hear you. Yeah. Yeah, you got to have the foundation. I mean, it's hard to do here. Everybody's entrenched.
Yeah.
You know, they've got their own little executive committees, and it's a good old boy system. It always has been. You know, same thing here in Raleigh County, Fayette County. It's entrenched. It's passed down, too.
Well, I can't remember the last time a Republican got elected in Fayette County, except I'm sure that we've elected a bunch of them who just, you know, went under the rubric of Democrat. I mean, we got a couple of them right now.
Right.
Oh, who's that? The school guy. I try so hard to put his name out of mind.
Al Martine?
No, not Al Martine. No, I like Al.
Oh, yeah, he's a good guy.
Oh, dadgummit. Rand Collins, principal over there, I think.
Mm.
But, you know, he's about as progressive as a Martian moon in retrograde motion.
Yeah. Well, same thing with all the Republican candidates in Raleigh County. I don't know how much, you know, I mean, Steve O'Brien was an idiot, but his propaganda beat day in, day out, day in, and then their afternoon programming, that might have helped get some Republicans. Plus, some of these conservative churches are banding together and getting people to vote and vote for them.
Bless his heart, Nick Rahal has the fight of his life on his hands now.
Well, he's in trouble, so.
He's gotten some issues right over the years. I mean, I remember when the man tried to forestall the Iraq War. Took some damn guts.
That got him called a terrorist.
Right, and for his trouble, he was called on the air in Beckley
a terrorist.
Yeah.
An Arab terrorist.
Yeah.
So, that helped him lose some votes here in Raleigh County. He hasn't won Raleigh County in the last three or four elections, I don't think. I mean, O'Brien put a hate campaign on him. Terrorist this, terrorist that, he's this, he's that, he's, you know.
It's sickening. But by the same token, it's the same thing that afflicts the issue that we were talking about with Natalie Tennant. Until you put some space between pro-coal them and pro-coal you, I mean, does Nick Rahal ever get up in the morning and wonder why it is that he represents the single most physically ill, diseased congressional district in the entire United States?
Oh, yeah. Nick's human. He knows what's going on. But, you know, it's just like all the politicians. Like I said, they're lying. Why can't they come up and fess up and say what's true? He knows what's going on, but he has to worry about getting reelected.
Well, see,
he can't come out and tell the truth and be human. You can't do that anymore, Bob.
But sometimes don't you? I mean, doesn't having your own personal honor and integrity matter? I mean, bless his heart. Nick Rahal was the only West Virginia politician to actually acknowledge any of these health studies, and his response to it was to say, "Well, we probably need more studies." So, taking him at his word, me and Bo go off to Washington D.C. We get the AIC Act introduced, and what does the AIC Act do? It calls for a fully funded federal study. And you would think that we were the devil.
Yeah, more funding, more studies. You ever seen the George Collin where he's at the press club meeting? He goes through all that, you know, how they do bills and they're going to study it and then they're going to press it for review and then they're going to do, you know.
Well, the problem is that we don't just have it's not just a study. The AIC Act is a turnkey operation. It's comprehensive because it says we're going to stop the new permits. We're going to have the study, and at the end of the study, if it can't be proven that it can be done safely around human populations, it ends.
Yeah. I mean, it makes too much sense, Bob. And the bad thing about it is anti-corporate. And that's where the rub lies. You can't you can't have things that are pluses for humanity, for the common man, for the working man anymore. It has to be what the shareholders, what the profit, you know, everything has to have a value now. You can't have simple human values and understand that they affect everyone. You've got to cater to the rich, and you've got to make corporations a person. Godless, human-crushing machines are now considered persons. And people support that. I don't get it. Now, you talk about some madness. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, are aliens running the show here, Bob? Is there some evil...
Oh, you mean the lizard people from Norblap 12?
Yeah, the reptilians.
Yeah. Just kind of go home, pull off the rubber mask. Hi, honey, I'm home. You know, as the little forked tongue flicks out.
Or it's the ones that are in the hole in the North Pole.
Yeah, that gang.
Shambhala down there, the Nazis with the UFOs. You know, it's everything's so crazy. It's like, I don't know.
And yet, I think the single most frustrating part of all of this, Jethro, is that everything we're talking about is eminently solvable. We do,
oh, yeah.
You know, it doesn't require the brain power that it took for us to go to the moon.
Common sense.
Yeah.
The special interests are what rule. Money talks and humanity walks. Now, when are we going to resolve that? Now, Swamiji, my master, says things are going to be this bad until 2020. They're going to keep on going like this. 2020 to 2030, they're going to get a little better. 2030 to 2040, a little bit better. 2040, we're breaking through. But I don't know if I'm going to see that.
Let's see. That would make me 77 years old.
Yeah. So, I know that to take what he says is pretty much a good indication of what's going down. So, yeah, he just hang on and don't worry too much about it, you know. Work on your own.
Well, sure. You know, before enlightenment, gather firewood, carry water. After enlightenment, gather firewood, carry water.
Yeah,
I got that part.
Yeah. So anyway, I quit watching MSNBC. I think we were talking about that on Facebook or somewhere. You know, I just started realizing, you know, Rachel Maddow and those guys on, you know, it's two teams. They're both preaching to the choir. They're solving nothing. All they're doing is revving up their side to hate the other side.
Well, but see, this is where, you know, we can disagree without being disagreeable.
Oh, it's cool.
Because Jethro, I am deeply grateful, specifically to Melissa Harris Perry, because she was willing to go out on a limb and talk about the AIC Act.
Oh yeah, now Melissa, that's
CNN a little bit won't, Fox News, God knows, won't.
Yeah.
Chris Hayes has been willing to. Rachel has gone out and talked about mountaintop removal.
She's been a little slow on that, I was thinking.
Well, she hasn't done as much as I would like, but then again, I've spent more broadcast hours talking about mountaintop removal than any other broadcaster in the world.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to judge things through a little bit of a jaded lens.
Yeah. What they get to put out, though, is controlled on both sides. Fox's stuff is controlled. So is MSNBC. I mean, that's why I quit watching Rachel Maddow, okay? I just got tired of them. Yeah. They're solving nothing. If somebody from Fox News goes there to watch Rachel Maddow, they're doing that so they can hate her and then talk trash and
yeah, you know. And that's BS.
I'm not saying
what you're saying is BS. I'm saying that conduct is BS. You're instead of listening. I mean, hell, I'll listen with an open mind to a clip from Fox. I mean, we don't have TV here.
Yeah.
I'll listen with an open mind, but the stupid kicks in entirely too fast.
Oh, quick! I mean, instantaneous. It's like someone's gagging you. I mean, I try to listen to Rush Limbaugh and some of that stuff, and it's like, oh man, these guys are nuts. But you know, that's what the liberals are thinking about Rush. The conservatives are thinking the same thing about Rachel Maddow.
But it's not. But Jethro, it's not a level. It's not a level playing field.
No, it's not a level playing field. Not at all. But it's designed to keep us fighting. Is what it's designed to do. Not concentrate on any problems, the wars, all these innocent civilians we're killing everywhere: Guatemala, Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, Colombia, Nicaragua. We've been killing down there for, what, 40, 50 years now? Or even longer.
Since yeah, over, check in with Smedley Butler, it's over 100.
Yeah. So, it's like, you know, it's like our solution now is to try to control everything in the world, business, the petrodollar, you know, and do it with military force. Get in the way, we'll kill you. It's like, what the? That's not going to work. It's not going to work. I mean, we're down the slippery slope anyway. There's no comeback here.
Yeah, I saw a photograph today with sort of heat imaging overlay of Antarctica.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
Bad times soon come.
Comes soon, yes. Yeah, in the form of, you know, more climate change and sea level rise.
And just, you know, check in with the prophecies of the people who got their ancient sacred places run through by four-wheelers this weekend, and they'll tell you that, you know, time is coming that is not going to be fun.
Right, right.
And for me, you know, you were talking about 40 years out, that kind of thing. For me, Jethro, and I'm sure you probably think a little bit similarly, you know, some of this may be mooted out just by the passage of time and the necessary mortality of we humans. But the minute I think, well, you know, maybe I ain't going to have to worry about it, then I start thinking about the grandbabies. And I think about Agnes and my own children. And you know, as parents, you think that, you know, your job is to, okay, teach them not to put their elbows on the table, you know, don't pick your nose, don't drink after other people at school, two and two is four, this is the word cat, you know, basic educational things that we have presumed to be part of the necessary Western mind skill set. You with me?
Yeah, it's memes, it's conditioning.
So the question occurs, what then do perplexed parents who are willing to deal with the reality that faces us now, how do you teach a 7-year-old to test whether the water is safe to drink?
That's a good question.
How do you teach a 5-year-old? I mean, actually, some of this stuff is kind of fun. You can teach a 5-year-old to plant a garden. My good buddy Steve Trash down in Alabama is traveling all over the country, and everywhere he goes, he's teaching children about renew, reuse, recycle, renewable energy, sustainable practices. And five-year-olds get that with absolute crystal clarity.
Sure they do. They are sponges of knowledge, and we fill their heads full of SpongeBob SquarePants. Now, you talk about some madness. You try to watch some of that shit. And some of that stuff like that. So it's all conditioning. I've lost my train of thought here. But the Native Americans, you know, when their kids were 5 years old, they could shoot and they knew how to track. You know, they could shoot their small bows and arrows, but they could hit birds and stuff. Had pet bears, pet, you know, whatnots. They were already advanced. You know, they were trained to see far distances, to hear things, track medicinal herbs, whatever, you know.
Because it's all transmissible transgenerational wisdom.
Yeah, it was a tribal thing. We are here. You know, they want to keep us separated.
What? Right. Well, I mean, we've remarked on that in the past. The propensity for the so-called consumer culture to break down the traditional American, with all the caveats that go with that, the traditional American extended family was shattered into a million pieces at the end of the Second World War, so that we could send those broken extended families off into the American atomic age nuclear family to some job in some growing factory town in order to maintain the World War II economy on a post-war peaceful basis. And it has taken a toll. That's where the isolation of the American people comes from. That's where nursing homes come from.
Yeah, and they were coming up with the all these appliances, making things easier, move into town, stuff like that, promising that in the future it was going to be even better.
Yeah, better living through chemistry, right?
They've turned that around. Instead of trying to help us, they want to soak us for everything they can get out of our resources. And it's human resources. Now they're going to suck all their money out, and now they're coming for us. So, you know, our labor. If they could get away with it, they'd go. There'd be some slave labor camps around here or something. So, yeah.
I thought that's what we called coal camps anyway.
Hey, Jethro, we got a note in from Kate on the Front Range out in Montana, back from where I said, oh, dear, we're off in the weeds and we're going to lose the audience talking about Leyland and Winona and Eccles and all that. And Kate said, you're not losing audience. This is refreshing. Your politics ain't no different than most places. I live in a coal state. If anything, this conversation is a rerun of the local attitude. And then she said, and you'll like this, this is better because y'all sound so purty.
Y'all purty. Well, you listen here, ma'am, I appreciate it a whole lot. Yeah, so, yeah, this state is so green. So green. So very verdant. So, and, you know,
Did you see the color of blue the sky was yesterday?
Blue sky? Yeah, you go down on the New River, the Virginia bluebells, you talk about some blue. And just all these different plants and stuff. The last two or three years, I've gone down to springtime.
That's another thing. I want to know. I really want to know how it is legal for these godforsaken bomb trains to go on trains through a national park.
They came through the gorge.
Yeah, and that's a national park.
Yep.
I mean, what? Does the boundary of the national park just magically not include those rail tracks?
Say you got a bomb out down in the dries or somewhere down like that. It's, oh, man. You talk about running some stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. Jethro, it's been a magnificent conversation. I love these.
Okay, Bob.
Have yourself fun going to the polls tomorrow. I already did my early voting.
Yep, I'll be going to early, I guess. I don't know. So, go in and see the same people. I always got the same poll workers they've had for 10 years now. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, unfortunately, I went and voted and wound up leaving a whole lot of blanks blank.
I hear you. Yeah, they like to see me color because it's like, oh, man, we've been watching the paint dry for a long time. We're glad to see, you know, a live body. So, yeah, I'm not expecting a big turnout, which is another thing of madness. You know, how have they got it to where nobody gives a damn and they don't care if they vote or not? They've been reading Mark Twain where, you know, if your vote mattered, they wouldn't let you do it anyway. What's going on?
Right, yeah, what, Emma Goldman said if voting worked, they wouldn't let us do it at all?
Yeah. I mean, if you can get 600 people to go to the wrestling show and watch Mayhem, why can't you get three times that many to vote for something that's going to be for the betterment of the people? You can get them to come for crazy stuff and idiocy, but, when it really matters and for something in their own interest, it's like a void is there or something. It's the alien mind.
Well, but the thing is about the wrestling match, though, Jethro, is that everybody going there knows it's fake. And the people that are doing it know it's fake, and there's sort of a tacit agreement about it. Whereas you go, you look at political candidates in the state of West Virginia.
That's fake.
Yeah, but they maintain the pretense of that there's some sort of real difference between a colocrat and a colican.
Yeah, but you think why didn't Mick go down there or Mel or somebody and go down there and say, man, can you give me 5 minutes with these 600 people? I don't know. I was running for office. I'd have been there.
I'll tell you what. Our friend who organized that has a megaphone and of real power.
Sure. If you can get him, to help you politically, that's what I don't get it, but he's shunned. He's some kind of weirdo. The cops hate him. They don't like him.
No.
He's too smart. He knows about freedom. And feeling good.
Yeah, the real freedom, not the real kind of freedom, not the I've got a choice between 29 different kinds of breakfast cereal freedom.
Right, yeah, I get your freedom if I pay the police and the...
Right, right. Hey, Jethro, you have yourself a good evening, man.
All right, Bob, take it easy.
Hey, what is it?
It's madness, buddy, I'm telling you, it's past that.
I know.
Somebody's in control, and it ain't the president, and I don't know who it is.
It ain't us.
It's, whatever it is, it's king madness. It's the super madness mind. It's affecting everyone. Because look around. Anywhere you go, it's madness.
I think you're right. Take her easy.
Later, Bob.
Bye now. Our buddy Jethro. Jethro's been a part of this this little community. You could almost say before this little community was a community. Neat. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, by the way, we ran out there and got to $50 on fundraising, and everything fell apart. Well, I mean, it didn't fall apart. It just stopped. So that's where we are at 19 minutes past 8. $100 down, and
hopefully not going to go $100 in the hole coming into Tuesday. If it's at all possible, let's not do that. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening, Bob.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
All right. Just listening to you and Jethro talk there. And we had a bomb train that didn't explode here in Colorado. I think I sent you.
Yeah, I saw that.
And that's why I do listen to Matt. I may not listen to her every night, but she has at least mentioned that and brought up the fact that these things are dangerous, you know. But it seems like we're kind of like the, and I'm not saying we are, but it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf, because after a while, nobody listens to us, yet we're out there telling the truth, and you can't get that big megaphone. I think, I forget who it was last week, talking about the AM station out here in Denver that's progressive, that's going away. And you got the one little teensy-weensy radio station, probably broadcasting on 10,000 watts a day, because I can barely pick it up from down here in the Springs. So I can't say I'm sad about seeing it go away, because I couldn't pick it up half the time over the terrestrial radio. But any time of the day or night, I can get someone like Kennedy, Beck, or Limbaugh. No problem. We've got blue coons of AM stations here, and except for the sports stations, guess what they are? You know, how many shades of vanilla do you need before you realize that's all you're eating is vanilla? And yet, I guess my frustration is, I talked to family yesterday, and one of the family members started going off on a rant about how Obama's destroying America.
Oh, jeez.
And when we got to talking about that is my, you've heard about the problems with the VA in Denver, where Fort Collins and Phoenix, and where they're keeping one set of books for the appointments and a real set of books for the actual appointments, and saying they're doing great as far as getting people in on a timely manner, when in actuality it's taken forever. And I've undergone a little bit of that. And when I mentioned Fort Collins, I guess they thought I was talking about Fort Hood, and started going off on this rant about how the guy down there in Fort Hood, the first one that shot up the Fort Hood, was a terrorist.
Yeah, because that was a Muslim plot.
Right, but then the second one, I said, well, trying to get him off the topic of politics, but I said, well, the second guy that shot people up, I consider him a terrorist just as well, even though he was an American who was upset because he couldn't get leave, and so he decided to shoot the base up. So, you know, it devolves into, well, he was Dominican or from the Dominican Republic or something. And it's just like, really? You know, you can't even agree to call him a terrorist just as well?
Nope.
Because he's in the Dominican Republic, you'll agree. Because he's originally from the Dominican Republic, you'll agree to call him a terrorist then. But if he were a good old white boy, you couldn't call him a terrorist just the way you could the first guy?
Doesn't work that way.
And this is the thinking that drives me crazy. Because while they're complaining about Obama destroying America, in actuality, it's because for what progressive parts the president has, if he tried to do anything really radical, he couldn't get it passed. Not in the House, at least. And we'll be fighting for the Senate in this November's elections. So if they take the Senate and the House, what is Obama going to do? What can he do? You know? I mean, but they can't see that. And it just, I'm at my wit's end because I feel surrounded by it. You've got some good people who go to church, and they go to church to hear somebody like Chappie, who just slides that little thing in there.
Now, don't be Kevin, don't be quoting his wife.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
Sorry, couldn't resist. He was hanging over the rim. Had to.
But seriously, you know, he slides that little thing in there about left-wing nuts.
Oh, that was left-wing crazies, yes.
Yeah, but he kind of made it sound like that shooter down at Fort Hood, the second one. He was a left-wing guy that went off, which is completely not the case. It had nothing to do with politics. It had to do with the fact that he couldn't get leave. And I bet if you went through the backstory on that, there was a reason he got to that point. And yet, these people can't see it. And I don't know what to do. I want to have a voice, and I want to have a megaphone, and by that I mean I want to be able to vote and know that my vote counts for something. But in the district that I live in, Lamborn, is so entrenched, and that's true of any congressperson, because of redistricting, especially the Republicans, but it's true of most of them, they can't get unelected unless they're involved in some kind of scandal. If they keep their nose clean of getting caught, they could be in that job for life if they want. And so they've had a number of people run against Lamborn, good progressive people, and a good number of right-wing people, too. But does my vote really count for anything when I go to vote in that election? And
well, if you're voting on a video game, it's almost a lead's pipe cinch that it doesn't.
Well, yeah, well, I thought of that. I thought of Brad Friedman specifically because I saw, I forget where it was, but I saw an article today about how voting over the Internet can be a really good thing. Like, really? How is that good when it can be manipulated?
Well, maybe we can get that trope really working nicely by the time Jebby runs for president.
Yeah, exactly. And what's that election in 2016? Right now it's looking like Bush v. Clinton 3.
You know what? I refuse, Kevin, to even play, to even go play in that swamp. Because 2014 is here, November will be here before we know it, and it scares the living bejesus out of me.
Well, sure it does.
That's not to say that we won't have plenty of grist for the mill and fodder for the trough here if everything goes sideways in November, because you know just covering the impeachment of Barack Obama will be plenty to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Because those bastards will do it.
And, see, that is another... Sure, they will. Even if they don't get control of the Senate, they're already talking about impeachment hearings. For the same reason that they impeached Clinton, it'll always be on his record that he was impeached.
And, see, that's why, I mean, beyond the emotional I don't know what to call it. Beyond the initial impetus I had for writing that piece that's up at the Horn now, that was also part of it. You know what? I'm tired of people running away from Obamacare. Politicians, I mean, particularly. It is not perfect. It is far from perfect. It's a Republican plan, okay? But I maintain that there's a real issue. I mean, good God. I mean, I issue in the piece, I issue a call for people in states where they're being denied Medicaid expansion to get busy. I mean, You know, where are the foundations? Where are the nonprofits that can bus people, you know, say 50,000 of them, to surround the Alabama State House and say, we are not leaving without the Medicaid expansion?
Yep.
Because that's a game changer. That is there are enough uninsured Alabamians to change the political climate of that state forever. And the same goes for Mississippi and Louisiana. I saw some number here. What was it? In Bobby Jindal's Louisiana, something like 562 people will die this year, not because they had a disease that was terminal, but because they got sick and didn't have access to health care.
Yep.
Now, why is that not outrageous? Why is that not the same as preventing people from voting?
Yep. It's even more important because the hospitals are even loving it. They're not having as many patients come in that can't pay. So their bottom line is actually being propped up by this.
It's good for the hospitals. It is good for it's good for the nursing profession, the physician profession. We need more doctors and nurses and skilled healthcare professionals, which means more jobs, which means more money in the economy.
Yep.
And yet on the other side, we got a bunch of godforsaken teabaggers, Kevin, who think that dying of preventable illness is some sort of freedom. And it makes me nuts.
Yeah. It does me too, because where did it become fashionable in these United States that it's good to die without health care? You know, it's good to not have Obamacare.
Yeah, but remember in one of those 2012 pageants, maybe it was Ron Paul, who said, well, what do you want me to do? Just leave them to die there in the hospital, on the hospital floor? And all them Republicans just clapped and cheered and laughed, yep. And they thought that's the best thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. Until it's them. And that's what a lot of them, and especially the demographic of the Republican Party now, they're getting up there in age. They're going to be some of these people that don't have insurance. And I guarantee you, you'll start hearing stories of people being hospitalized who paid that fine for not getting the coverage, who could have gotten it, and now they don't have coverage because they refused to get it. And with added into that, the number of people in states that could be getting it that aren't. If your child dies because he couldn't get health care, we all can go to the emergency room, but No.
All that's required there is that they stabilize. Now, children are largely going to be covered through CHIP, S-CHIP, something like that, because it passed. It's reality.
Not if the parents don't qualify for it.
Right, but the qualification thresholds are pretty low.
Sure.
Especially after S-CHIP. You may recall when the anchor baby, Michelle Malkin, attacked a little boy for daring to tell Congress that S-CHIP that the CHIP program saved his life. It's actually, the Medicaid expansion threshold needs to be raised as high as the S-CHIP threshold is. But beyond that, what about the parent of the child? Because, see, the child can have coverage where the parent doesn't. Well, what happens to the child if mommy gets sick? What happens to the child if daddy gets sick? Oh, my God, what happens to the child if mommy and daddy get sick?
Yep. Well, and what struck me further about this 2014 election, Bob, for all the power that the president has, and make no mistake, any president has a certain amount of power, but I'm here in Colorado where we've got legalized pot, we've got Obamacare,
if that 2014 election for governor goes the Republicans' way, all of a sudden a whole lot of people ain't going to have Obamacare, and that legalized pot is going to go away. And
you really think the people of Colorado will let it be taken away from them now that they have it?
Maybe not, but some of these candidates for governor are of the extreme right-wing teabag variety. Hell, even in my city here in Colorado Springs, the city council didn't vote to legalize pot in the city. I mean, it's legal, but they can't sell pot here because they were against it for religious belief. They're missing out on all that sales tax revenue because of religion. And we're talking about a plant that's natural, you know, that people have been using for millennia in some way, shape, or form. Peyote, marijuana, whatever. And yet, because they've been told all this misinformation, they'll pass up that sales tax revenue. And both the State House and State Senate are more or less 50-50. I think the Senate swings a little bit farther left. But even with that, the governor's got the power of the veto. So, you know, I mean, it just would be bad news. And I could foresee it if the right candidate for governor got in there. And when you have guys like Chappie running for a state seat as well, if he got in there and a few more like him, even if he had a 51-49 majority, of Republicans, I could see it going away.
Wow.
And it scares me. I mean, I've got the medical marijuana, but I could see that going away too. And you were talking about that, Bob. You could only now get 120 doses per month of Vicodin. I suffer from the chronic pain, so every month I'm getting this Vicodin refilled, and that's why I got the medical marijuana. But even with that, I'm still having to fill that. And they made the law such that some people in worse pain than I do, than I have, would be going through that 120 pills per month in about 2 weeks. Not because they're addicted, but because they actually need it. And so they supplement that with medical marijuana. And if it were to go away, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily stay up at night thinking of these scenarios, but the people were all for it. I'm not talking about the populace being not for Obamacare or not for medical marijuana, because largely, the more the public gets informed about it, the more they're for it. But all it takes now is the certain politicians to get in there, as we see in these red states, with their gerrymandering. No matter how blue the populace is, if the right people get in, it's all over. And we've seen that in these some of these states that they have a Republican governor, but they're blue otherwise, and the Republican governor didn't bother to expand the Medicare or the Medicaid. And you just add all this stuff up, and
No, it can get bad real fast. It really can.
Well, what I'm concerned about is that it'll get violent real fast. Because, like you say, granted, maybe not that many children will die, but But how many parents will leave children behind who don't have that anchor of their parents, who might get shuffled off to a foster home? And you see where I'm going with it, it just leads to all sorts of different things. And when you've got parents dying in their late 20s, early 30s because they couldn't get health insurance, you know, I do worry that, you know, that there will be a direct outgrowth of violence. And, you know, the worst thing that's happening out here in Colorado now is that there are people selling spice, the synthetic marijuana, which is really bad news.
It gets sold as potpourri.
And people have died because of taking this stuff. And that's, for the problem that it is, that's the biggest problem we have right now. You're not seeing people getting busted or shot over a pot deal that went bad because there's no market for it. If I can go to a pot shop somewhere and get it legally, what do I need to miss with the black market? So you're not seeing people getting shot over marijuana deals like you were. You're not seeing robberies like you were. You do have people trying to break into the pot shops, but just like the two police officers tried to plant evidence on one of these pot shops found out, most of these pot shops have double protection. You know, they don't just have one set of video cameras. They've got multiple sets of video cameras. And so once people learn about that, those robberies are going to go down too. And so there's a lot of good that's happening, but it's going to take the populace, like you're saying, to go into places like the state house in Alabama and say, nope, we ain't leaving. But it's got to be like you and Molly talk about. It's got to be in numbers that they can't.
That they can't overcome and that won't go away.
Exactly.
That's the thing. You know, let's get 10,000 people around the state house in Jackson, Mississippi, demanding access to the Medicaid expansion and have them say, we ain't leaving. And then you just need the infrastructure, making sure everybody gets a couple of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day, and you sit tight.
Yep.
And then if the fine, God-fearing, Bible-thumping, upstanding, Christ-following rulers of Mississippi decide to call out the National Guard and gun down a few people, that's, well, you know what? The reality is frightening. It's frightening, Kevin.
Well, just like Kent State, though, Bob, as much as I wouldn't want to see it, that was one of the seminal moments that changed the tide of public opinion about the Vietnam War when those kids got shot down for no good reason up there in Kent State. And, they may come at us, but when you've got 50,000 people surrounding a state house somewhere and the police try to do something that extreme to break it up, it's going to make the news because it's too big a crowd to be ignored. And we saw that with the Occupy, but most of those crowds were big enough that, a lot of that news got ignored. It was only in the big protests in New York City and places like that got any coverage. But in a lot of cities out here, people were getting their brains bashed in, and it wasn't getting any coverage at all. So I definitely agree with you. The question that I think is out there is a question you've asked, I've asked, anybody that's a real progressive has asked, What will it take? What does it take to get people out in the streets in those kind of numbers? And
well, maybe we're about to answer that question. Hey, Kevin, I'm going to try to get a couple more calls in here. Good to hear from you, my friend, and let's talk again soon.
Yep. Thank you very much for allowing me to vent your little box.
Oh, that's what this place is for, Kevin.
You
have a good evening.
Good evening, Bob.
All right, see ya. My buddy Kevin calling from Colorado Springs. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Well, hey, Tracy. How are you?
That was fabulous. So Sterling has dementia?
Yeah, is that what it is? I guess when you get dementia, you turn into a Klansman?
Yeah, okay. So, and his wife is, I've never heard him say such horrible things. I was sickened.
But she wasn't sickened when, oh, well.
Nah, be nice. Well, you don't have to be, but.
I mean, you know, girlfriend.
Yeah, she wasn't sickened when he was, you know, dipping his wick in other.
Yeah, see, you're the one that told me I didn't have to. Yeah, because you were gonna.
That's not, you know, that she wasn't sickened by that, you know. And so, yeah. Well, I was listening about what you were talking about storming the state houses and stuff. Looks like they're doing that at, what is that, in Missouri?
Is it?
Yeah, they are. They're like, you know what, this is some bullshit. We want our Medicaid, and we want it now. So they have been storming. I got snippets of it, but yeah.
Go read that thing that I posted yesterday at the Horn page. I think you'll enjoy it.
So about the ACAC, I mean not the ACAC, about
Obamacare.
Letters from
letter from Summersville Hospital.
Letters from Summersville Hospital. It goes back to that thing we talk about how deep racism runs in this country and how people rather die than admit that they could use that, than admit to, you know, that Obamacare could actually help them. Or the space that they're playing on the racist fears of certain people. So, well, you know, it's just from that Kenyan. And they're listening to Kevin talking about, how the fear of what would happen if a Republican governor got into Colorado, or what would happen to Obamacare and, you know, the weed, medical and, you know, recreational marijuana. Nobody should have to live in fear in this country. We shouldn't have, this is the kind of...
Well, that kind of goes back, that sounds real FDR-like, Tracy.
Yeah, oh, damn. Silly me, I know.
Freedom from fear, wasn't that one of the four freedoms?
Freedom from fear. You should not have to go to bed. I was thinking, you know, we're talking about the minimum wage and stuff like that, and how a little while back they had that break-in at the World Trade Center, and they were going on and on and on about the security guard being asleep. And you got to wonder, how many jobs was that security guard working?
Yeah, but see, we don't ask questions like that.
No, you don't.
Because if he's working three jobs, that's uniquely American, Tracy.
Oh, yeah. It is uniquely American. Because he's so, you know, he's going from one job to one job to another job. And
dying from preventable disease because you don't have access to health care. That's uniquely American.
And worried about, I was listening to, I found some old clip from Chris Cuomo talking to Ted Cruz about Obamacare.
Well, now, and by the way, now that Marco Rubio has declared that he is ready to be president, I really do.
No.
I want that Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz right-wing steel cage death match SmackDown.
That's going to be awesome. That is it's going to be fun. So he's ready to be president now.
Yeah, because he's ready to be president because he knows that global warming's not real. He done said so on the TV box.
On the TV box.
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm. But see, this is the thing, because I wasn't listening. Yesterday was Mother's Day, so I refused to listen to the news. Because I've been listening to... Can I get a cheeseburger with an old onion and pickles and a large fry and a medium, no, large Coke, please?
Sorry, all I had was a cheeseburger, no pickles.
And no onions, and a large fry,
and
please.
No onions?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Bob.
A cheeseburger, no pickles, onions, a large fry.
Just as long as we're at In-N-Out Burger.
Large fry. No, I'm not.
Large fry.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy, okay. Tracy, don't take us through the drive-thru if it's not going to be yummy.
That's it, yes. No, it's not, because I just feel like waiting. That's it.
Okay.
I just feel like going to In-N-Out because it was just too long of a line, but I promise when next time. But anyway, I'm listening to him talk about the family as a cohesive unit and how we need the family to stay together and all this, and Obamacare, you know, this is old news from last year, and Obamacare is killing the country and is knocking 5 million people out of work and all this. And Chris Cuomo's like, well, what are you going to do to make sure it's better?
Oops.
And Ted Cruz is like, well, have you been reporting on this? And he's like, yeah, but I'm not a state senator. I'm a U.S. senator. You are. So what, isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Fun.
Oh, it was.
Well, but the answer is because Jesus. Because after all,
Benghazi.
Ted Cruz's daddy has anointed him to be king of America.
Benghazi.
Yeah.
Because I heard.
Gesundheit.
I wasn't supposed to be watching the news last yesterday morning, but I heard, because Jan had Channel 7 on, ABC News on in the living room, and I kept hearing stuff about Benghazi, and I just like, they are just so terrified that Hillary Clinton is going to run for president. Not only are they still circling the wagons around Benghazi, but now they're bringing out Monica Lewinsky. Come on, pal.
Yeah, that was precious, wasn't it? How long till some right winger slips off to the cemetery with a shovel and digs up Vince Foster?
Right. That was their. He's the one that committed suicide. Yes.
Yes. Well, no, I mean, all the Republicans know that
he was killed.
Hillary bumped him off.
Right. Yeah. And that was so long ago that I, you know, and these are the things that, you know, this is this small part of me, well, this is a huge part of me, but this little glimmer of hope. That Elizabeth Warren
will
run for president.
Well, see, I was going to mention that. I was thinking earlier today, Tracy, I would gladly vote for either Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton.
In a heartbeat.
But by the same token, I have to admit, and I'll get hate mail, that I would vote for Hillary Clinton over Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Chris Christie, Scott Walker, Bobby Jindal, Sarah Palin, or Jeb Bush.
Is that Torm running?
Oh, he probably will.
Oh,
but you get the point. I mean,
yeah.
Because I still have to acknowledge the reality of what happens in November in a presidential election. It's two folks. It just did. And if nothing else, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders could both push Hillary a little further from the center-right place that she lives in.
Yes.
You know, drag her back to the real middle.
The real middle. When I go screaming into the night, you should, when you hear about Benghazi, and because if they're going to just pull out, if the only thing they got on Hillary at this point is Benghazi, they're going to have a hard time with Elizabeth Warren.
Whatever happens in the primary, if she comes out on top, she will whip some right-wing ass, because she just...
She will tear some eyes.
I mean, it'll be ugly. I can, Can you imagine her squaring off against Rand Paul and that thing on his head? Ted Cruz would go running back to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Or he'd run and hollering Jesus back to Daddy.
Okay, and then Santorum, something about family values and all of this. And,
oh,
you know,
please.
It's just, I don't want to hear about family values when you are cutting food stamps and shipping jobs overseas and people got to work three jobs and can't see their and can't be with their families because they're too busy working to act out a meager existence.
I mean, there are real issues to talk about in this country. The little thing, the little burr I got under my saddle the other day about the fact that our apple juice comes from China. You know, bless my heart, I tweeted that, and Ocean Spray Inc. got back to me and said, well, it's made here, but it may have apples sourced from other countries, which was kind of a confirmation of what I'd said all along. I don't want no Chinese apple juice. Not because I don't like Chinese people, not because I don't like China. I don't like their ultra-capitalist approach to... because that's the deregulated wonderland that the Republican Party wants.
Exactly.
You know, plant an apple grove next to a coal-fired power plant and see how much mercury can fall on them and go make apple juice concentrate out of it.
And go make apple juice from them while you're paying your employees $2 a day with no rest break.
Bingo. $2 you know, so a day.
A day, not an hour. We're not even going to get you an hour. You're going to get $2 a day. So you want me to work this way and call me un-American? Because how dare I want to be able to make a living and be able to spend time with my girl and my son or my family and not have to worry about getting, you know, mercury poisoning? Well, you're just not American enough. You don't love this country enough, Miss Porter. Because if you did, you work until you die and not complain about it. How dare you? Well, you know, just because you're a Negro. I forget we don't have no work ethic. We're lazy.
Yep. Had to invent a whole word for y'all. Shiftless.
Mm-hmm.
Shiftless. Uppity. Yeah. Jesus, I feel dirty just having those words come out of my mouth, Tracy. And unfortunately, we got to get out of here.
I know we got to go, but hey, you know, it is what it is. But I'm glad to end the conversation on a happy note.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go somewhere and be shiftless as I've been up since, you know, 4 o'clock this morning and I'm still working.
Yeah, take your burger and go somewhere and be shiftless.
I'm going to be shiftless. Mm-hmm.
Take it easy, Tracy. Have a lovely night.
You too. Bye.
Drive careful now.
Always.
You know it. Bye now.
Bye.
Tracy, on the road somewhere in the wilds of Los Angeles. If you need a cab, Tracy's the cab you need. And here we are. It is, we are fast closing in on the end of the program. Thanks very much, indeed, to Sal and Asa and to Frank for helping us get a third of the fundraising done for this evening. Looks like we'll be starting tomorrow night in a $100 hole and be trying to raise $250. That's how it works out sometimes. I'll be here. Hope y'all will be here. It will, after all, be Titanic Tuesday. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. First and foremost, you who share your ideas, your time, and your manifest goodwill. Thank you. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox, working away in Australia. Something big going to hit here pretty soon, I have a feeling. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And ACACT, ACHEACT.ORG, ACACT.ORG. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Rick Smith is on his way on the horn.